نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله الواري الكريم، وصلى الله على أنبياء أجمعين، والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لمن مرسلين. أما بعد، are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it, and that He is alone and has no part, and that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universe. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend, and send salutations of Allah on all of His prophets and His apostles, and on the Messiah, the anointed one, and on the Mahdi, the guide, and on the Mujaddid, the reformer, which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
The man of the hour, airing 7 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.
Okay, setting the record straight. Well, you started talking about a situation of, was it twining into the vine? Now, if you have one fourth of each part, I'm quite sure they don't have one fourth. It's for the, but they still got it under law, whereas they can get the things and grant the things that they want.
Right, well, that's only because prior to the civil rights movement and affirmative action, etc., you didn't have any rights at all. Right? What happened is in the 17th century, right here in Georgia, where we dwell, the Yamashin, Native Americans, the Europeans came in and made a deal with us for equipment, heavy equipment, because we couldn't sell our goods because heavy equipment was starting to come, more sophisticated farming. So they made a deal with us and told us that they would give us a certain amount of heavy equipment, like they usually do, and we pay them back in 6 months. You follow? However, and you can read this, you can read up on it. However, after we did it, they didn't hold true to that treaty because it was not a written agreement. They came back within 3 weeks. And then when we couldn't afford to pay them, what they did is they took the women and the girl children from us. All right? It didn't stop there, so that's not how the Yamashis dealt. Right? And they started having children by them. All right? What happened within a year's time, the Yamashi were trying to hold true to their word. And when they found out that these Caucasians, these British Caucasians, were having sex with their daughters, there was what they call a Yamashi massacre here in Georgia, right, like the Zulu did. And they rose up and they started massacring Europeans and pushed them off the land. But what they had to take back into consideration is that a lot of their women had been raped by the Caucasians, and the children being born to them were mulattoes. You follow that? These mulattoes grew up wanting to leave our campsites, or what they call presently reservations. They want to leave the land and go and look and seek out lighter people. So when these mulatto children sought out Caucasians to marry, they produced these Caucasian-looking people who by right can say they're your masters. You follow? You understand what happened? And then what happened is the tribes got a war broke out. We blended in with the Seminole, the Creek, the Oshito, the Wichita, and different tribes as Yamashis. We ended up inside because then all the Europeans came together against us because we whipped a couple of ass. So they got all the different tribes together, all the different cults of the Irish, the Polish, the French, everybody got together and came down on us right here in Georgia, right here in Milledgeville. Yabala and mashed us. So the men had to, we had migrated in different directions. Those that went to Georgia, we became known as the Seminole. So far, ones who are going, so others of us went as far as Chile, became as far as the Yucatan. We scattered in different directions, and we became mixed in with the Cherokee, so you find a lot of your masses saying, I'm a Cherokee. And you say, how do you know? Because my grandmother is a Cherokee. And it goes back further than your grandmother. What about your great-great-grandmother? What tribe was she? But the Cherokees were not always there. So they were called an Ani Indiga, which meant we the people. And all the tribes started naming themselves, like I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, We the People, because that was the first line of the Iroquois Constitution. So when the Constitution was set up here as a remembrance of who they are, most of the Native Americans in their own dialect named the tribe We the People as a group, because we all had to unite to survive. And so we broke off and became different tribes. So yes, you have Caucasians that can stand up and say, I am your master. As long as you don't stand up and say, right, he's your master, he's my son. You follow that? And you couldn't do that until certain bills where guys like Dr. Martin Luther King, who didn't appear to have any value, had a great amount of value insofar as he got certain rights implemented that gave us the right to stand up in a courtroom. Whereas, let's say, the Nation of Islam ain't giving us no rights. But we're doing this as the Nation of Islam. We're doing this talking about what we're going to do to the white man. Dr. Martin Luther King, you know what I'm saying, went out and got certain things passed that gave us the right to get into the court, to get into the, what do you call it, into the universities, so we can get the kind of degrees, so we can do the kind of investigation that is necessary for us to make claims. And it's not about reclamation of land. The law literally says don't say reclamation of land. I mean, you just got to be on the land. So I don't have to reclaim my land. I have to be on the land. And then tell them from the land, this is mine. You follow what I'm saying today?
How do you determine the average Negro?
They made that rule. Here's if you had a situation in America where you had the Africans who brought over. Remember, you got several different slave trades. And they try to keep, say, for instance, each group starts basing their philosophy or doctrine around one particular slave trade. Like the Nation of Islam keeps talking about John Hawkins in the 15th. Right? Then you'll find that the Moorish Science Temple talks about the 17th century, and they're talking about city, Sultan City, and that slave exchange. We as Ansars, we talked about the slave trade that came out of Sudan, where the people of Zimbabwe, certain Muslims, sold us over into slavery. That's our Ansars. And everyone, and all these were events, he wasn't in Mother Africa taking one group. He was going around taking different people and making a melting pot. But what they don't mention is that there were already people here. There was black people already in America, which are the parents of all those people from different parts of Africa, because they moved over here from Uganda thousands of years before we even broke up into different tribes in Africa and became what the Arabs call Africans or Afrikaans, those divided into Faraka, into pieces. You know what I'm saying? So now what happened is when they got here, by the time we moved way down, let's move down thousands of years and move to the 15th, 16th, 17th, and 18th century, you had in the shores of America Moors who were not Muslims. Had nothing to do with being Muslim. But you had Ansars who were Muslims who came over here, brought over here out of Sudan. All right? So when you get a picture of it, let's say, this is America now, and this is Africa. People were brought over here, all over this place here. And when the Caucasians started making rules and regulations, he was concerned with the African slave trade. He didn't care nothing about the Moors. The Moors who came from Morocco, right? He didn't care nothing about the Moors that came from Mauritania. He didn't care nothing about the Moors who came from Senegal. He didn't care nothing about the Moors who came. All he was concerned with is niggas from Niger, which he called the Ivory Coast. He called the niggas, Niger, Negrito. And they flipped the coin in the Latin-speaking world and gave Negrito the respect when Morenos used to have the respect. And then they called him Negrito Morenos, which is blacker Moors. Now they really got the people confused. What's done? So a person in Spanish will walk up to you and call you Negrito and make like they're giving you a compliment. They don't know that the Caucasians switched it. Portuguese turned it around. And Morenos was the compliment because it meant a Moor, black by identity, not black by color. You follow what I'm trying to say? All right. So now, to get to your point. So you did have Americans. You follow? So therefore, they sent out ships to protect America. These are Moors. I got this in the Constitution book, the whole dialogue, the whole history is written out for you. Tells you the place, the time, and everything.
sent them here. So he made a treaty with them first. This is why the White House, the capital, so-called capital, is called the White House. Because the word White House comes from the word Darbeda. Darbeda means the White House in Morocco, and that's the capital of the largest city there. Rabat has recently become the capital of Morocco. The original capital of Morocco was Darbeda, which in Spanish we say Casablanca, which means the same thing, a white castle or a large white house. So the fact that the United States has a White House as a central point and has a dome on it like a mosque tells you that it was influenced by people who came from Morocco called Moors, Darbeda. You follow what I'm trying to say? And they sent Abraham Lincoln inside it, but he's sitting in the seat of Rameses. He's not sitting, he's sitting like a pharaoh, Rameses. If you ever see the statue of Rameses when you walk by, and the thing about what you see in Washington, Abraham Lincoln is doing the same thing. So every grandmaster is one of Rameses. Okay. So there were Negroes here that were called slaves, even though we know the word slave is Slavic and can't apply to us. They did allow themselves to be called slaves and be treated like property. You follow that? You also had the Moors. Now, what was important about this thing is when I say the Moors came to America, the first thing that comes to your mind is Moroccans with light skin and wavy hair. But the treaty said, do not send any mulatto. No mulattoes was allowed. And mulatto was not, like I said many times, was not even an English word. It was from molad. Those born out of our seed. So they did not allow, they only allowed dark-skinned, woolly-haired Moors to come to America. Because they did not want to mix them in with their mulattoes that was already here because of the, the French and the Portuguese raping us. You know, hunky. You know what hunky means, right? Huh? You know where it came from? When they would go outside our towns on the other side of the road and honk their horns so the black women would come out. That's why we refer to them as hunkies. They would honk with horns, they had to go, they didn't go beat, they'd go honk, honk. If you're old enough, you know that. And so the only way they could get the black women, the Caucasian, get black women to come out at night to make money for their families, before they brought them in their house and made like they were washing the floors and taking care of their kids so they can have sex with them, they used to pull up outside our neighbors, and black women would know to go out there to the woods and they'd meet white police officers or whatever, and they'd get a couple of dollars for some sex. They'd also implant seeds at times. It's a sad story, but this happened to be true. That's where the name came from. But okay, if I got lost. So they only allowed a certain Moor here. They were afraid that the Moors that came in were going to get mixed up with the Africans that was here and the mulattoes. So they said, make sure you only bring in dark-skinned, woolly-haired Moors from Morocco. Now, part of the plot was to later capture them. They didn't tell us that, though. So now, when we came in as Moors, they gave us documents and paperwork and treaties made with George Washington with his signature on it. It's in that book I gave you. If I was telling you that they are to be treated like equal citizens to every Caucasian in this country, and these were black men and black women with these kind of feathers on, walking around doing the same time they were having slave blocks and selling people, there were black people there buying the slaves who were Moors. That's real. That was us. Before that was our culture. We forgot it because we think Africa is our only home. But we were already here. And then we had someone came over here. Again, we were not Muslims. We didn't care. They associate the word Moor with the word Muslim. Muslim is a curse to a real Moor. Because we knew that the Berbers invaded us with their Arabized ways and poisoned us into believing in their image and therefore pushed Moor out of existence. And all the cultural contributions we did got lost. You follow? But they go back. Once they got over here, remember you have your slaves, and then you have your Moors, and then you have your indigenous people who were already here. The indigenous people were mixed in with Haitian, right? And they produced what you call Native Americans. When you hear about a Native American and you see a person with a round face and two long straight braids, that's not the Native American. That's an Indian. You understand? That's an American Indian. But that's not a Native American. Native American will all act like that face, that statue man out there when you come in with that big round head and big lips and that big nose. I wouldn't even be classified as Olmec. They're purer than me. It's what you mean, to be honest. But that's who they were. They were the indigenous people of this land. The Chinese came in, mixed in with them, and produced what you're calling Native Americans today or Indians. And the Caucasian gave them all our rights.
Right.
Now, they walk around saying Cherokee, Choctaw, Shinnecock, Cheyenne, and we walk around saying African, African, African. So what he did to appease the African, he created what's called the Emancipation Proclamation. Sounds big. But the whole thing is he put forth a proclamation that he's going to emancipate us and free us from slavery. But he did not promise us anything. Now, there was a promissory note saying 40 acres and a mule. But we multiplied so fast that they was afraid that if they offered every person who stepped forward for that 40 acres and a mule, there wouldn't be enough acres left on this planet. We would take over. So they had to drop that and the mule and just start slapping us upside the head whenever we started acting for our rights or creating organizations that would stifle our growth. You follow that? The first thing to do was to create religion. Get us caught up in religions that don't pertain to our own past, such as regardless of what I or Farrakhan or the 5% or the Morris Science Devil or anybody else says, when you see this word, which I'm quite sure you have a hard time figuring out, the number L, Ada. I could write it with a long letter, but I'm doing it with a shortcut, okay? Ada. Drop this and go Ada. Yeah, that word, Ada? What do you think of when you hear Ada? Tell the truth. Do you think of Farrakhan? You think of Noble Dwali? You think of the Ansars? No. You think of Saudi Arabian Arabs. Light-skinned guys walking around with white on, with top bellies and stuff. With cocky-ass attitudes. All taku. That is Arab. When you trace that back to, they'll say, Muhammad was an Arabian prophet. No Muslim will deny that, that Muhammad was an Arabian prophet, right? So there's a subtle confession that Muhammad was an Arab, but they don't say that. But they'll have eight if they want. That is the birth of Muhammad, the death of Muhammad. The hadith of the Muslim world describes Muhammad as a pale Arab. So any Muslim in America, any one of us who's black-skinned, who stands up and says, I am a Muslim, is making a fool out of ourselves. Because as far as society, the records, and history, Arabs are not black in nappy-haired people. Now, we can modernize it and say we're 5%, gods and planet Earth, nation of Islam, Ansar Allah. We can modernize it, but at the root of it, you follow? There's still Arabs. You go to Nigeria, amongst the Hausa, they can be as black as night, and they're Muslims, they're still surrendering to an Arab culture. Meaning if you take it back to its point of origin, you don't see you, you see an Arab. So you don't have the right, and your rights won't support you in any international courts in this world saying, I am a Muslim. By religion. Because Muslim will be synonymous with Muhammad of 570, who gave birth to it. Women. And the Muslims have to fabricate a false history to stay in the world of trouble by saying all the prophets before Muhammad were also Muslim. Until you say prove it. Hey, though, I can show you the Quran. I didn't ask you to show me your book. Your book started in the year 610 and stopped in the year 631. When Muhammad died. This is when Muhammad received his first revelation. Moses, Jesus, Abraham, all of them were before Muhammad got the Quran. Correct?
Right.
If the criteria for being a Muslim is belief in the Quran, then how could Jesus have been a Muslim if the Quran didn't exist when Jesus was born? How could Moses have been a Muslim if the Quran didn't exist when Moses was born? See, Muslims had to create a fake history because they only got 1,400 years of history. And now with computers, people are able to jump thousands of years in time in a couple of seconds. Historians, anybody can become a historian just by opening a laptop computer and doing a clip, putting in Corolla and go back to Muhammad. And say, well, then how could Jesus have been a Muslim if the criteria for being a Muslim is making salat five times a day? And Jesus didn't make salat five times a day. And the criteria for being a Muslim is you can't make prayers anytime you want to. You must make them according to a schedule. And Jesus went in the Garden of Gethsemane, what he felt like, and fell on his face and prayed. So what's your criteria? They needed to fit in history to control the world as a new world order. You understand? Now let's go back again. Let's go back. If we eliminate this every time you say, I'm a Muslim, I'm a original man, and I'm an Asiatic black man, you got a whole bunch of crap. Asiatic black man, you think you slick. You think you're easing into Asia with these Arabs, but you ain't. That's a con, Asiatic black man. It gets you out of Africa into Asia so you can start thinking, I'm an Asiatic, you ain't no Asiatic. Look up the word Asia means Orient. And you ain't no Oriental. You can slam, you can take your eyes slam, and you still won't be an Oriental. You feel me? Next step is to go back to Jesus. When I go back to Jesus, I go back 2,000 years ago. Got that?
Got it.
That's AD and BC. They real confused. They don't know where the world is going. Now, when you get the picture of Jesus in your mind, and don't lie, because you've seen the picture we do, nigga. So, nigga lie, Christian, don't lie. Right? When you think of Jesus, what do you think of? That man on your grandmother's wall. Don't lie. Either he's kneeling down doing this, or he's standing there doing this, or he's doing this, but it's the same old little Jewish boy. But he's definitely not Joshua from down the block. He's definitely not no black man with no big lips and no thick nose and no nappy hair. Now, we can draw all the black Jesuses we want. The same way the Muslims can fabricate any part of history they want, we can start creating black Jesuses to make us feel good. But when the world looks at it, you follow? And you say, I am a Christian. Christian is synonymous with Romans and Greeks. Correct?
Right.
And it doesn't fit you. The shoe don't fit. Or should I say glove? When we go back to Moses, we're going back to 4,000 years. Actually, 3 and something. 4,000 round off. Now there's a little trick in history. Because Moses was born in Egypt. Correct?
Right.
He wasn't considered a little white boy born in Egypt. He was considered an Egyptian while he was in Egypt. Because they gave him an Egyptian name, Moses. Which simply meant to be drawn out of the Nile. Joseph got them into Egypt. The Israelites who got into Egypt came in there after Solomon and them had already mixed in with Hittites. For the description of Solomon in the Bible is that he's light-skinned with black straight hair. Not that he's an African. I don't care how much Rastafarians want Solomon to be black. Solomon, according to the Bible, is burly with hair like raven, black like a raven. That's black straight hair with an ivory belly. Now, one of you niggas upstairs and pop open that belly, there ain't gonna be no ivory that's milk is dribbling off your lips. You understand? So Solomon was a light-skinned, he was one of us, but he was light-skinned with black hair. Egyptians did not like that blood mixing. But the Israelites did get into Egypt to work for us and mix in with our blood, creating a lot of these pictures you see on Egypt today with all these different races of people. But Moses was considered one of them, but of mixed blood, not a half-original man. Right. One day, Moses was there for mixed blood, but you don't. In history, they will not identify Moses with American Negro or African.
though Moses was born in Africa, they will not say Moses is an African. They'll say Moses is a Jew. Over and over again. Is that right? So again, Israelite Hebrews, Hebrew Israelites, black Jews, whatever you want to call yourself, when you say you are Israelite, you are being related back to Jew. I'm saying, I don't mean in your little corner with your 13 followers. And all of y'all sitting around with big Jewish stars on saying, well, that's not who I'm talking to. Y'all can tell each other anything you want. I'm saying when you present your case to the world for identity purposes. Because that's what it's getting down to. You follow what I'm saying? When we got to go up against the world and tell them who the hell we are, stop letting them tell us who we are. They didn't change who we are in the last 100 years, 5 different times. We were nigger, Negro, Afro-American, not African-American, but they won't say more. You understand what I'm saying? They will keep naming us as long as we'll keep on accepting them. Nobody else comes over here to this country and allows other people to name them. The Italians come over here, and you go to a pizza store, and they got an Italian flag up, red, orange, and white, and they'll say, I am an Italian. You call them a greaser, or what's the other thing they use for them? A what? They don't recognize it. They take it as an insult. If you call a Chinese a slope head or slant eye, they take it as an insult. They call you a nigger or Afro-American, you say, thank you, son. Or color. Like, I got more colors on me. I got the less colors on me than anybody on the planet. Everybody else got blue eyes, blonde hair, red hair, green eyes, gray eyes, pink skin, red skin, beige skin. Niggas all come in one color. How do we end up colored? You understand? Unless you meant they colored us all in one color. All right, let's go back. So calling yourself a Hebrew Israelite in the international community, trying to get your identity or your... don't mean jack. You understand? You're going to have to go back to what is recorded. And you're going to have to go back and prove that. And because you were not writing in your language, but rather they were writing in Latin, and you're writing in Greek, you're going to find two words, Latin and Greek. One is morenos, and the other is nigger, the Greek word for black, found in your Bible, in Acts chapter 13, verse 1, where they call him nigger, right in the Bible. And that word, you look it up in any Bible dictionary, means black. They were calling Jesus' disciple nigger. All right, so calling us up a Hebrew Israelite is not getting you nowhere. You follow? Now, when you go before this man and you want to get from under paying tax, you want to get out from under his laws, you're going to have to present a reason why. Saying that you are in bondage now because you're an Israelite don't mean nothing but somebody tied your hands up. That's all the word bondage means in a legal document. They don't give jack whoppy snap about the Bible. Otherwise, they wouldn't have you raising your left hand to it. And putting your right hand on it. You follow what I'm saying? So don't fall for that. All right, so now you get back here and they say that, who are you? Who are you? The world wants to know. Now, you know what we throw back at them? I'm Muslim. I'm an Asiatic black man. I'm original Hebrew. What else do we call ourselves? You follow what I'm saying? Then he goes, like the Pharaoh did when Moses came back into Egypt. The Pharaoh said, who is your God? And he said, Jehovah. And he said, let's look this up. He said, we ain't got no Jehovahs in here. Moses, I'll be right back. He went back to Jehovah. He said, Jehovah, I told him about you. And they said, you ain't in the book. Who should I say sent me? They said, say I am, that I am sent you. So Moses tracked back across the desert, went before the Pharaoh and said, go ahead, what's your case? I am that I am sent me. And they looked at Moses and said, it's not, you know, it's cool, it sounds nice, but where's the proof? This is what you're doing. You're going before the great Pharaoh of this land, and you're walking in there and you're going, I am a Muslim. And they're going,
And I am the original man. They go, go ahead. That's all I want to say. And that's all that happens in Farrakhan speeches. We are the original people. We are the so-and-so. We are the this and this. You are the that and that. He beat you up. He took this from you. All right, now put some money in that can. I'll see y'all next day today. He ain't saying nothing. And if he said, we are the bad, the people are going to open the books of history and do what? The same thing like with Moses. They're going to start going through the list of nationalities, tribes, identities, and say, Shabazz, just a minute. Shabazz, she ain't in here. Well, Master Farad told me, Master Farad Muhammad. Excuse me.
Took another book.
And who's he? He's our God.
Oh, my God. Okay, Master Farad Muhammad. Master Farad Muhammad.
He ain't in here. This is what's happening to us. You know what I'm saying? This is what's going on with us every day. It's been going on for 400 years. When niggas standing up with somebody else's culture and coming at the world as if they represent us. You understand what I'm saying? But now if you step back and say, who is your God? Say, I'm my own God.
There it is.
I can be found in every one of those books.
There it is.
Because if you just trace out the history of Jesus and his description according to your Bible, you'll find that Jesus is black. The hair like lamb's wool. Feet like burnt brass as if they've been burnt in a furnace. That is the description in the Bible. I don't care what the hell you got on the wall. I don't care who drew that picture you got up there. According to the Bible, that's my description. So I want to trace out Moses. I know Moses was born in Egypt, so Egypt is in Africa. So Moses was an African. That's who I am. And Moses, according to your Bible, in Exodus chapter 7, verse 1, went into Egypt as a what? As a what? As an Elohim, as a God. You know why he went into Egypt as a God? Because he couldn't go before him as a man, because the man in charge saw himself as a God. So when you're sitting in church, in a court, and that man is sitting on that bench in front of you, right up there they got God. He's in the bed. What does he call himself? Magistrate. What is that? The master. The one in control. God. This man makes you put your hand on a Bible over here on the left side of the court. And then makes you make a plea. What is plea abbreviated for? Huh? To beg. How do you beg? Now, the statement is, in God we trust. Correct?
Right.
So if you said to him, I don't plead. I trust in God. And you're not God. So you can't sentence me, because vengeance is mine, says the Lord. So now, if you want to sentence me, you've got to bring the Lord down here personally and have him sitting on that seat. That's the only way I can get judged, or in God we trust has to come down, because you ain't my God, and I don't trust you. You may catch hell there in court, but you'll be right. And you will eventually win. And if they can hush it up, they'll push it out to court. Because you don't have to plead to no man. It has a court that says, in God we trust. You would have to deal with who? God. And that judge is not God until you surrender yourself to him in a plea. Or what they refer to as a plea bargain. Listen to that close. A plea bargain. I commit a crime, right? You're the judge. You know I committed the crime. The DA works under the judge. He knows I committed the crime. And I know I committed the crime. My lawyer knows I committed the crime. and I can go into the back room and make a deal called a plea bargain, which means the judge, the DA, and them are willing to overlook the crime. Is that justice? If I committed the crime, I should be tried and sentenced. How can you give me, how can you make a bargain with crime? If there's laws of right and wrong, how can you bargain with it? How can you bargain crime? That tells you there's no system there. You understand? You pay tax because you want to pay tax. And they'll chase you down and beat you up for those tax because you want to pay tax. And tax in this country. You say, well, because religion is separate from state. They say, then go out and get a child and become tax exempt. But as long as you're tax exempt here, I can go into your records, check your books, and do anything I want anytime I want to you. You understand what I'm saying? See what I mean that? I said separate religion and state. I am the state before your religion got here. And your church is based on religion because it's under God. And I don't fall under your God, so I can't swear on your Bible because I don't believe in your Bible. Because you have not proved this Bible to be authentic. So therefore, I can't put my life on the line. So until you can prove this Bible to be authentic, I demand that you throw this case out of court. Because you have to prove to me that this Bible, I'm going to put my hand on and swear to, is authentic. And that can't be proven. You have to prove to me that the God who can put our trust in does exist. And that can't be proven. You understand?
Yeah.
That's the law. But as long as you keep surrendering to him, keep on signing things over to him, you keep on giving him the power to rule you and control your life, you ain't got no power. You got to go back in and say, in your book, you have this word written. You sometimes in French spell like this. You follow that? But it identified me. Back to the question. Meaning that they were Africans over here. They fell under your laws, the Emancipation Proclamation. And then there was us Moors who came over here to help you. You understand? And then there was both of our descendants who was here before you got here. So I got three routes to go when talking to you. I could be the ordinary Negro who falls under the Emancipation Proclamation and gets abused. I'm begging for my rights, and you ain't giving me nothing. Or I could be the Moor who falls under treaties made with George Washington and exempts me from all of your touches. Or I can be an indigenous Native American and verify that I was here before you got here, because you can't say who was here before you got here. And I'm saying I was. Then I got to take my family name and link it back to a place. For instance, if you take the name, let's say York. York will go back to Virginia, Boston, and throughout the Carolinas. You'll even find some Yorks in Louisiana. They just left it. But mainly, the Yorks are in Virginia and somewhere out west with Washington. So that name can be traced to an environment, the VA, where a man called Ben York died. Right? And this guy, Ben York, has been proven to be the name Yusuf Ben Ali. Because he went into the courts in North Carolina and fought for his rights as a Moor, but they were captured by the watchmen and shuttled in with the Negroes. You follow that? And mixed in with them and sold as if they were Negroes. And they weren't, they were Moors. So they went into court, fought the case and won. And they stamped on their papers to be given all the rights of a white citizen in America. This is you. You did this. So I can trace it back to this man here and then trace him back to the Yamati tribe of Native Americans and the mixture of the Moors, Morocco, and Mali. We can trace it all back and trace it right back to Georgia. Once we get that piece of paper together, I'll talk to you about your Parhams out here, your Williams, and any other last name who has a family roots in Georgia. And we can trace them back and find out which Native American tribe you got ushered into. You understand? Because all of y'all who survived with a long nose got ushered into some Native American tribe. You see? see? And when we get all that together, we can keep centering around Georgia on record in Millersville, in the file, is the Yamaki tribe, and the description is you. They have it there now. Go to, if you don't believe me, go check it. The woman told us, literally, when you finish your research, could you please send me back a book because we need more information on y'all.
Go ahead, Alma.
That's what she told us in the library in Millersville. When you finish, if you go there, they'll say, some other people was here asking about this too. Some other people was, hello. I want to pull out all the files on it, all the information. How did the college get possession of Rock Eagle? When did they get possession of those deeds? How did they get, who gave it to them, etc. And go back to that person and trace out the name of that person, which we've done, and found out it was illegal transaction. Produce the document was the question. Show me the document. Well, we can. Then I can show you the genetic trait that I am your master. Washita, Cherokee, Creek, Seminole, as well as more. Prove that. You follow that? And then you take that, not here. You don't go to his court. You go to the international court in Geneva. And the first thing you put forth is a statement, I am an indigenous person. Stop saying anything other than that. What is your nationality? I am a Moor. If any of you people have listened to me and went to any professional office and said it, you saw the reaction. You saw them go, we have white, Asian, Negro, and other. Well, put more in place of other. Well, aren't you a Negro? No. You see them fall apart, but you see them write it down because they know it's the law. Because they have a philosophy that if they break one treaty, none of the treaties they make is to be trusted. That's in Congress. And they made a treaty with you as a Moor. They didn't make no treaties with you as Negroes or slaves. They got treaties with you as Native Americans. And they know that the Native Americans, the Moroccans, mixed in, I mean the Native Americans and the Moroccans mixed in, and that's what's sitting here. And that's why some of you got wavy hair, some of you got nappy hair, and some of y'all got big lips, and some got thin lips, and some got slant eyes. That's why some of y'all are light skin. That's why you're all mixed up. It's a melting pot of our genes. And then, after the treaty was signed, then other Moroccans were allowed to come in. But there was no separation. You go to Morocco right now, you don't find the racism you find right here in America. And there's a strain of Moroccans that run from the French, those who think they're French, all the way down to those who think they're Africans. But they live together in peace. There's no problem. That's how you live back then. So to answer the question, there are Negro slaves here. And as long as you keep saying you're Negroes and accept organizations like the NAACP, you will never have rights to what is rightfully yours. You with me? But the moment you start saying, I am an indigenous person, sovereign, I belong to a sovereign nation, they can't do jack with it. Because they have admitted in their textbooks that they came to America, and when they got here, people were already here. And all you're saying to them is, correct, I am of the people that was already here when you got here. You can't say I'm not because you hadn't got here yet. I am not an African. I was not a part of the slave trade. You got me mixed up with somebody else. That's my brother. Here you go right here. And he's walking around saying he's an African. That's his business. There goes my Negro reform. That's my reform brother right there. See, he's a Negro, American Negro. That's not me. Now, you may not want to do that. I'm standing around, you know who the hell they are. But when you walk up to brother from Puerto Rico and say, what are you, from Puerto Rico? He said, no, you ain't. You're not a Puerto Rico. What are you? You're Moor. You know what I'm saying? I'm from the Dominican Republic. You're not a Dominican Republic. You're Moor. Cuba's a place. Not a people. And I'm Cuban. Don't let them fall for that crap. Stop, strip back all the names. And keep saying more. And then we become the majority. And according to their system, the majority rules. So if all the Latinos, Asians, Nubians, as you want to, whatever, come together and say we are all Moors, what happens? We control the thing. Now, you can be a Moor, brother, and say, Assalamu alaikum. Say, Assalamu alaikum. Jesus is Lord and Savior. Jesus is Lord and Savior. Shalom lecha. Shalom lecha. Net turu. Net turu. Odabo. Odabo. You know what I'm saying? Anything that makes you feel happy. But your nationality first. Because when they weigh us in this country, they weigh us black against Caucasian, right? But if I stopped and raised my hand and said, excuse me, sir. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Excuse me, sir. Just what nationality is Clinton? I want to break that down. I like Clinton. Now, what nationality is? He's Irish. Let's separate him over here. You follow? Let's go to Cuomo in New York. He's Italian. And let's go to Koch. He's Jewish. If I'm there, so I start taking them when they got white. I start taking them and break it down like this. Irish, Polish, Scottish, Jewish, French, German, Italian, Swedish. Don't be afraid. Huh? Russian, what?
Polish.
Yugoslavian. Okay, go back to point. Yugoslavian. However, they say we are all Negroes. They don't want to recognize that if a person comes over here from Trinidad, that he's a Trinidadian. The moment he gets over here, he becomes a Negro. But brother's from Cuba, and he's dark-skinned right away, he is. Everybody who speaks Spanish is Latino to them. They don't care whether you're from the Dominican Republic. You speak Spanish, you're Latino. Correct? And you say, excuse me, sir, I'm not Latin. But Latins are Romans, and I'm not a Roman. If I was there, you back him in his tracks. Person says, excuse me, I'm not a Trinidadian. I'm not Three Mountains. You know what I'm saying? What will happen when we do to them what they have been doing to us in reverse? Will demand that they present the man on television or the woman on television that commits the heinous crime that they put first their nationality. Because unfortunately, because we're calling them all look alike, if a crime is committed, they put you on television and say, well, a nigga did it. They don't say a Cuban did it. You know what I'm saying? It's a nigga did it. But when Caucasians do that, there's no way to log it. I want to be able to say, okay, an Irishman is the one who pulled out that store. A Jew just burnt up that building. What was his name? Burnt up the government building. What was his name? McVeigh. What was he? McVeigh. Well, say it. You know, I'm not sure of them. Say, young Irish guy pulled up U.S. FBI building. So everybody can turn in and focus on the Irish and say, you Irish is a bad people. So if I catch Irish people walking in my neighborhood at night, I can stop them and say, you better get out of here because you're up to something. If I was still an Irishman walks in, I can walk up and say, oh, can I help you? Because you got a history of blowing up buildings. So we don't need you Irish people walking around our neighborhood. That's what they do to you and I. Snoop Doggy Dogg commits a crime and I walk through the neighborhood and they ask me, come here. What are you doing here? Walking through the neighborhood. You live around here? Does it really make a difference? Yeah, it makes a difference because we don't know who you are. Are you supposed to know who I am for some reason? I have a hit record or a movie or some shit out? unless you're implying because I'm walking through a white neighborhood on the planet Earth in the U.S. of A. where I have my right to play my taxes, that you're supposed to know who I am. But I know you're not doing that because you'd be in violation of my rights. You wouldn't want it. That's not what you. You know what they'll say? Nigga, just get out of here. Whoa, so. More, just get out of here. Nigga wouldn't have questioned you. If I'm there, I have a right to stay here unless I'm in violation of some law. I have over $7 in my pocket, so you can't get me for lottery. I don't have any tools, so you can't get me for burglary tools. I don't plan to piss on the sidewalk. You can't get me. I'm not going to talk to no white people, so I won't be disturbing the peace. So what is your case? If you don't have no case, get out my face. And you do have a right to ask them. You just don't know you do. And when you start asking them, they back up off you. I'm not saying you to get arrogant. I'm telling you to ask questions. If you know you speed, nigga, don't say why you pull me over. But then when I want to question them when I wasn't speeding, that's what killed it. Because you lie. If you speed and they pull you over, they lie. I speak, give it to you. Because I know I'm going to say, I wasn't speeding. I was only doing 150. I didn't know that I was speeding. Then when I come to the neighborhood and I'm not speeding, they pull me over just to keep us out of the neighborhood, man. So, yes, there was a mixture. We've got to put them on the spot. And as you talk to Caucasians, the same way they do us, say, by the way, what's your nationality? Yeah. What do you mean? What's your grandmother? She's Irish. Oh, okay, just want to know. Why you want to know me? If anything wrong, we want to know. I just want to know if you know, because if you're Irish, I know that you believe that you came from little gnomes and shit. And at least I know back in your history some dumb shit about men walking around with bagpipes and short skirts. You know what I mean? I just want to know. Is there anything wrong? If I talk to a Jew, I say, at least now I know you think you're God's chosen. Everybody else is Gentile. Everybody's going to hell except you. At least I know how you feel about me. Now if I say you're Italian, you know the mafia? Why are you going to say all Italians is in the mafia? Why are you going to say all niggas wrong people? Let's set the record straight. Let's stop being questions and let's start throwing some questions politely. Like I said many times, they ask you, can you help me in the store? What do you say? Yes. A white person walks up to you and you shop and they say, can I help you? You say, yes. The moment I finish shopping, I get my package, I want you to help me carry it to my car. And if you don't intend to do that, then get the fuck out of my face. Straight up. Because they will walk over and ask you, can I help you? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you can help me. Get the cat in this bag. That's what you mean, right? Because you can't help me decide what I want to wear based on the way you dress. You can't help me pick my style of clothes. Look at them shit you got on. So what you mean by help me? Carry my baggage. What else could you possibly mean? Yes, sir. Any other questions on it? Yes, brother. There's international courts and there's national courts. All right? We as people that are a product of a kidnapping, not a slavery, we were kidnapped and we were sold. I'm trying to get this in your head now. Because whoever brought you was an accessory after the fact. You understand that? So now, as a we've got to learn to get on the inside so that any windows we break always from the inside out and never from the outside in. You dig what I'm saying?
What type of action would that be? Like trying to establish your identity?
All right. What is it considered, what does it fall under?
Exactly.
It falls under sovereign nations. Any individual who can prove that they have a link. If you just jump up and say, I'm a Native American, I'm a Cherokee, they'll say, which Cherokees agree with you that we have on record as Cherokees? No, I can do that as an individual because I can prove by the name York that I am linked into Ben York, who links in the old York, who links in the Yusuf Ben Ali, who got those petitions. Now, then I can say, you are my extended family. With me? This is my brother, cousin, and she's married to my uncle, and so we are extended family. I can put forth a petition that you are petitioning me. And I'm saying, right, he's a Washita. Right, he's a Yamasi. He's in our tribe. And you take that petition anywhere and flop it down, go boom. I have been verified to be a the Yamasi tribe by a person who's a Yamasi who have verified who they are. That's how it works. You know what I'm saying? So anybody can go try to do it, and they might succeed. I hope them. But we do have a system working. But we hope don't get disturbed by our own people messing it up. Yeah. Way in the back. I already knew mine. Yes, but what will happen? I don't know the motives. Let me work with you. Yes, but if you're playing this game, like I know people that say, there's Elohim. I'm an Elohim. I'm an Anunnaki. And somebody goes, I get upset. You know, like, oh, come on. We don't need the added nuts going down there making us that's coming in with legit arguments look like nuts. So don't go down there with damn Indian feathers on saying, I am a Cherokee because my grandmother was a Cherokee, and pick up a woman I was straight here and say, because my grandmother has straight hair, that's how I know she's a Cherokee. Because when we get down there to the international court and enough American Negroes come there with that bull crap, you know what's going to happen? They're going to change the law. Indigenous people started 1992, ends 2000. You can tell me you are a Shoshone, and I will ask you from which reservation. Let me see the certificate. If I don't ask you, I'm just respecting your request or your wish. Prove it to me. So if black people just start standing up saying, I am a this, I am a that, the devil is going to alter the law. And he has no grim rights about changing laws. Yes. What's the proof?
That's all I know.
Okay, well, here's the disadvantage of being a Cherokee. The Cherokee, as I told y'all years ago, sold out. If you go up to North Carolina where the Cherokee Reservation is in the Smoky Mountains, those jobs sold out. They pay tax to the government. So being a Cherokee makes you just American. But you got to find out which tribe your great-grandmother was in before she joined that band of people who didn't want to fight with us but sold out. The Poney, who were part of Seminole, sold out and became scouts for the Caucasians against us, our own people. You follow that? When they show you the Poney, they show you these guys with this black straight hair. No, they were Negroes fighting in the Confederate War with Poney, were Cherokee, Cheyenne, a variety of tribes, what's the other one? Oshit, Washita, meaning the Washita, some of them sold out and was fighting against us. You got to make sure when you step down the path, you don't step on the wrong side. Old York was a sellout. The Duke of, Sergeant York, who's one of my relatives, was also a sellout. He fought with the, what do you call those guys? The black troops. The Buffalo Soldiers. They pump you up, the Buffalo Soldiers. Buffalo Soldiers was Toms. They sold out the family and fought against and massacred Native Americans. He's in the family. I may not like it, but it's true. I'm not going to hide it. You know what I'm trying to say? If Ben York wasn't a sellout, he wouldn't have been running around with Lewis and Clark and them interpreting things for the Native Americans. But when they betrayed him and it got personal, he set them up and altered the treaty of the Louisiana Purchase so that they didn't buy anything but the police barracks downtown. And those documents are verified. A sister in Louisiana, Veriachi Empress, brought it up, went to court, proved her case, and got 68,300 and some odd acres of land back from the government right now. You follow? And that means the door is open. But if you're not planning on opening the door and holding it open and ushering a bunch of people in because you want to do your own thing, then don't mess our stuff up because you're into yourself. Whoever does it got to hold the door open and get as many people in as we possibly can. Because when they acknowledge Empress Veriachi, a black woman with woolly hair, as a Native American, they open a door. Because before that, you only had one concept of Native Americans. People who were in Oriental looking with round faces with braids running down like this or feathers. Now they're confessing, no, that those people came after the original Native Americans. And that's you. So you have rights, but you've got to go before them right. Don't bug out. And if you go mess it up, don't interfere. If you don't know what you're doing, don't be fronting. In other words, niggas, the niggas be fronting. Don't be fronting if they don't try to be fronting and pretending you some shit you ain't. Mess it up for all of us. You know what I'm saying? Nigga, shut up. If you don't know what you're talking about, shut up before you mess us all up. Don't But we know we talk too damn much. That's our problem. I'm sitting there telling y'all laws I should be keeping private and just getting it done. But y'all be probing. You want to know, what's this? What's that? What's this? If I didn't, I'm going to take your bed. What's he up to? You stealing our money? What you going to do? So I'll tell you what I'm doing. So don't be now, can I do it? No, you can't do it. If you did, you wouldn't be asking me, could I do it? You know. You understand? So don't mess it up. Because a person in my age, 52 years old, got to be doing it for you. I ain't doing it for myself, but I got 10 more years before I might not even know what the word Washita means. So I'm trying to get it done for the young people, and they got more to fight after that until it's all straight. Until we can tell them, get off of our land. Take your bombs and your wars and your politics and your racism and your hate and get the hell off our land. When I say off our land, I mean off of America. I don't mean off of Georgia. I mean go back to Europe where you belong with your evil stuff. And those amongst you that don't want to be evil and want to live right, well, you can live there in peace. But you evil as white people that think everything is based on wars, why are you up there messing with Mars? What would have happened if you'd land on Mars and some Martians would have slapped the hell out of one of y'all? We would have been at war with Mars? We're dropping bombs over here, or are we dropping bombs over? Let's go to Iraq. Were the Iraqis dropping bombs over here, or was America dropping bombs over? I can keep on going on? How can I get in a fight with you if you ain't there? How can I get in bomb up Somalia if I'm not in Somalia? The problem is, there's a madman running around Somalia, beating up the Somalians, who I don't give damn jack about, but I'm going to go over there with troops and beat up some more Somalians to try to find a man who's a Somalian beating up Somalians. That's called minding somebody else's damn business. And if you wonder if the Somalians got a situation where there's a crazy Somalian beating up other Somalians, let the Somalians solve it. That's all. That might be the way nature's working. Might be a form of elimination. But we always, always in somebody's stuff. And the moment a group of people like us sit back and say, I want to have my own stuff, you know, all week we got them out here. Can we take pictures? They pull up to the pylon, 20, 30 of them a day. Can we just walk around? What's going on over there? Read the book. They're ready to get involved. And we're walking around there with rose bushes on their heads and, you know, and crystals. And that's what they want to do out there. They want to be involved. We can't have nothing. Every time we get something, they want it. And when they come out and ask, what was the drums thing, you know, the banging the drums all night thing you guys do, you know, what is that? That's one of our customs. What's it about? It's about banging the drum all night. I mean, you know what? Where? You know what I mean? No, I don't know what you mean. What do you mean? You know. Yeah, I know. Banging the drum all goddamn night. They want you to give them some place in history where they can trace it to, so they can put a label on it. Okay, they got this from Senegal. You know. And the Senegalese got it from us. And they said, what's with the ceremony of ISIS? A bunch of women standing around, you know, drinking wine and stuff. What's that? None of your goddamn business. After they come like, nah, don't you leave our shit alone? We got our own little shit out here. You got the whole country then stole, not to mention everybody else's damn country. We got a little thing going on out here. And you want this too? Let them down there and see what welcome me some of y'all. So if I bring my white friend? Can that nigga bring you to the KKK? Can you invite your ass anywhere? Why are we always inviting people places? All they do is come in and take our stuff. If they can help it, there'll be a whole bunch of crystal worshiping witches walking around out there. Oh, ISIS, the mother ISIS, the witch of witches, she'll be. There'll be a whole bunch of old Amorites standing there chanting some druid crap. Christians will be saying, see how it's shaped? It's shaped like a cross. It must be the Blessed Mother Mary. There'll be every Christian service out there. Why can't y'all have your own thing here? I'm not saying white folks can't come. Anybody can come anywhere in America, correct? For as long as this piece of land is America.
You know what I mean? But they can come visit, but what, you know, don't be ushering niggas out. Come on out there and do it with me. Come on, you know. Come on out there and walk around with your white friends. Why you doing that crap? They'll bring a whole, they'll be a whole, they'll be out there with beer cans soon. They don't got no respect for anybody's religion. Watch any movie. They just dog God. They dog everything. They don't respect nothing. So why invite them? Why create your own destruction? I don't want to sound like I hate white people. It's not about hate. It's about them. And I got my own thing here. Well, I got a basketball game. Why you on the court? Go play hockey, nigga. I ain't no hockey bro. What you doing over here? Ain't my fault that nigga got in the golf game. That ain't my fault. Y'all shouldn't have let him in the court. Tiger Woods don't belong on the golf course. That ain't a black man's game. Ben, sister.
In America.
Let me draw a circle. I understand that because this is the Caribbean. I mean, that's not the Caribbean, but you'll be out there. All right? I'll do that. Now do the Caribbean, right?
No.
This is Africa. All right? Archaeologists, paleontologists, all of them agree that everybody that's walking on this planet came out of here. That's a fact, correct? So now, some of us walk straight on across here before it parted, right? And then some of us drifted on down. Some of us did it because we wanted to. Other of us was put on ships and taken. But we all started out from here. So whether a person has an Irish accent, which is a Jamaican accent, which is really Irish, if you listen to it close, or a Negro accent, or a Southern drawl, and whether if somebody likes plantain, or someone likes fried chicken, or chitlins, all of us are the same nigga with a new name. You know what I'm saying? And we gotta start telling him, I ain't no Jamaican, I ain't no Haitian, that's just a place I'm from, I am a Moor. And we become a massive amount of people with one race. You know what I'm saying? And then when we move like your family wants to come over here from the islands, you just say, come on. And they can't stop you when they recognize you. But as long as she's saying, or I'm saying, I'm Trinidadian, and I want to come to America, then he said, ask me, can you come? If your man said, ask me. And if you said, I'm called a Trinidadian who was once in America before you moved me here, I'm going back home. They can't reject you. It's laws that you don't know, power you don't know you have, because you have this tendency to go surrender to him. That's the answer to the question of how come Farrakhan was allowed to go to Libya when Americans were told they can't go to Libya because Libya was at war with America. Because Farrakhan is not an American. You follow that? They can't stop you. They can only stop Americans. Your father, he don't even know that's the reason why. He don't know that's why. He's probably trying to figure out himself why they didn't whip this shit out of him. Because he's not an American. They really can't stop you from going anywhere. Because I can't stop you from breaking your way out. He can stop you trying to come back in. You with me? Yes. So right now, if we wanted to leave and go to Ghana, we can pack our stuff up. And we can go to the airport, right, and jump on a plane and go to Ghana. And nobody won't bother. You know that, right? On your way back in is when the customs stop you and check your stuff and check your passport and check your visas and ask you about your exit visa and your entrance visa. On the way out, they don't care. You can drive from here to Florida and they won't even take tolls. On your way back up, back home, that's the way it works. You with me? It's a game. It's a big game they're playing. And we gotta get out from under the game. And when enough of us start doing it, then they will alter the law and get out your way. You understand? They will take an organization like ours and say, give them what they want. Because the people that follow Farrakhan ain't gonna never listen to him. But they listen to nation. You just said it, nigga. Just have something cool to say. It's Nathan time. But now, what do you do to prove that it's nation time, that we are independent nation, and that we can stand on our own. What are we going to do about that? Nothing, but we got to start somewhere. The people across the lake over there, across the road, called us this week and said to us, being you won't sell us your land, we are willing to sell you the land across the road. You know what that means? Nigga, being you ain't leaving. We're leaving. We have how many acres here, y'all? That's 600 more they want to sell us. Now, that's real. All the other crap, we got some land down south, and we're putting together farms and all that kind of stuff. That don't mean nothing if you're not trying to set up an indigenous nation, sovereign people, making decisions over themselves, educating their children. I can channel the amount of crack that comes in here, the kind of alcohol or spirits or whatever the hell you want to call it gets in here, create your own police department to police your own environment. You know what I'm saying? Then that's called peace of mind. So you ain't no Muslim until you got peace of mind. And you ain't got no peace of mind living in his world while you saying As-salamu alaykum. And he's telling you what to do and how to think. Telling you take Juma Friday off to go to prayer, I'm going to fire you. So you got a choice between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and your boss and your rent and yourself. If all of them, you just say, oh, I'll make it up later. Fail states. Come on, y'all.
Daddy.
That's dangerous. Yeah, anything else?
Talking about, but I had asked a question maybe about a month ago and he wasn't present, but it was due to your old publication with Secret Societies Unmasked. You had a picture that was in there, and going back to what we're going through with the ancient symbol of Hathor and the six-pointed star and crescent, or the bull's horns, there was a picture that you had in there that was on, I think it was Saturn, and it was a hexagram that was on there, and I was wondering how does all that tie in with what we're doing, because it's there. Because I saw the picture. It's an old publication, though.
Right. I know that's what you're talking
about. Okay.
The hexagram, the pentagram, all of those are our symbols they stole. The ram's head, that they turned into something negative, was a symbol of Ra when it dealt with us. And it dealt with the sun, and their concept of hell and the fire and the heat was Shambhala. Everything they made in their religion comes out of us. Our symbols were made up of two. We had the male symbol and the female symbol. This here symbol represented Isis, and this was Osiris. Right? Osiris was governed by the deity Min. You understand that? Min is a phallic symbol. This represents the head of the individual, arms, legs, penis. So I've been trying to tell them people in native Islam, somebody has 5% of the knowledge. They say this represents Islam. They say arm, leg, leg, arm, head. You heard that before, right?
Yeah.
And I said, well, I don't know about you, bro, but I got an arm, a leg, a penis, a leg, an arm, and a head. I don't know what happened, what religion you fell from, or who cut your shit off. You know what I'm saying? But you're missing a point. If any man in here stands up and parts his leg like this and spreads his arms out, you won't get a five-pointed star. You may see a five-pointed star because he's dressed. But if he stands like this, you going to get a five-pointed star? What are you going to get? All right. Now, when you look at this, this is a cavity, a meaning point of the power of birth. Which creature between us will stand like this and be 5 points? Let's think for a while. But this is real goddamn complicated. Now, let me see. Women. Right, women, right? When is the nation of Islam going to wake up and realize that dumb shit, arm, leg, leg, arm, head is not real? You follow? Never will. And this symbol in ancient times was inlaid in this symbol. They had to put this within this in a circle. They called this one the
the seal of David, and they call, I mean, the seal of Solomon, and they call this one the shield of David. In ancient times, both Solomon and David was us. Now, when you put a crescent on it, and put a star here, and tell the world that this is a symbol of reality, of facts, all wise, right, and exact, perfect, bond, you lying, nigga. Because if I complete this moon, crescent, there's no way a star can get on this side of the moon. You with me, man? As long as you show a crescent, you give the impression that a star can be placed here. But when you see a crescent, you're not actually seeing a piece of the moon. You're seeing a whole moon with a piece blocked off. And no star can get on this side of the moon. So it's a lie. It's an illusion. It is not the truth to tell a person that the five-pointed star is a universal symbol of sun, moon, and star. You know why? Because when I say it's similar to the sun, moon, and stars, what am I doing? I am being redundant. Because this and this is the same damn thing. It's lies. So when they present a five-pointed star and a crescent, they intend to tell you lies. It's an illusion. It causes confusion. And that was the purpose of religion from day one. To divide us. To have us killed. Who's the, who is responsible for most of the bloodshed in the world today? Religious people. Terrorism. Right? Self-righteous individuals who think they are in direct contact with Allah or God, and thus they could go off and kill people. It's an illusion. And it creates confusion. And we have to defuse it and put the facts back. So pop off that five-point, look down at that five-point star and press the ring you've been wearing and realize you've been had. Now if you say, well, God, what about the six-point star and crescent? Isn't this an illusion because this is a star and it can't fit inside of a crescent? We spoke years ago and we told them that this symbol is not a crescent, that it was a symbol of a snake with its tail in its mouth. Crescent is only used when it's dealing with Isis or Dinah, the female principal. The star was supposed to represent the semen, the power of male, the reproductive, the ovary and the semen coming together, not a star and a moon. The serpent with his tail in his mouth represented taking control over evil. It's like a dog chasing himself in a circle. And in that, we put the seal of Solomon. And in that, we put the key of eternal life. The question here. The sphere, if you see on my face, it's the same as the ark. The same thing. But we did not say it represents the universe and the sun, moon, and stars. Because that would be a lie. Whether they like it or not, it's a lie. Okay. All right?
Okay, so basically is it a symbol for their status, like it is here?
It's all, yeah. See? Definitely. You have, no, what you will find, when you look at what they find, which is beautiful for you, because I'll go back to that too. When they go to Mars, and we said they were on Mars, and people are saying they weren't on Mars. This was like 5 years ago, right? You felt a little crazy, because you were listening to this crazy man called Dr. Malachi Z. York, who was telling you that they're on Mars. They got Mars projects. Remember that? And you was reluctant when you was in an intellectual conversation to bring up the part of the doctrine where I mentioned that they were on Mars. You beat it around that part, use the part of the doctrine where you wouldn't look stupid. See, but now that they're showing you flashbacks from Mars, and you know anything you see on television, they had for at least what? 10 years, you realize they was on Mars what?
So now something else you said is confirmed. And when they get to Mars, they're naming rocks already. They're giving them Disney World names. Snoopy. What's with the familiarity? You know what those are? Those are nicknames not to have to tell you what they see. They are appealing to your better instincts by saying Batman. You have an image of a Batman, your mind immediately goes there. You say, listen, you're on the moon. I'm sorry, you're on Mars. You've been up there for 2 days. You're getting messages. Well, here's the facts. Is there life on Mars? Well, according to what we see, there's definitely a possibility that there was life on Mars. Does that mean all of the textbooks pre that date get thrown away that said it was impossible for life to exist on Mars? Or do you admit that there are people on Earth that know a little more than you that said there was life on Mars when you said there wasn't? They can't do that. Because if they accept the fact that I said there was life on Mars and everybody said I was crazy, and now they're silent, what's that going to do about everything else I tell you? Then when I say, yeah, Europa is the real planet. No, don't fall for that. Saturn don't have no rings. There's no ring. That's dust particles. And the planet Saturn is really the planet Titan. Now they come back. Titan is a planet. You go, I heard that before. Read that in the Holy Tablets. Right. Yeah, the Europeans, oh, no, they got their own planet, Pleiades. Then they went over and set up their own planet called Europa. They got a planet called Europa. Europa, Europe. Where's Africa planet? It's up there, you know. It's called Sirius. It's called Sirius. Sirius star constellation is where the Africans come from, according to them. That's their doctrine. They come from Pleiades. We came from Sirius. Who the hell was here? And they're making it look like they came from there to Earth and then from here back to Mars. If I'm saying? But someone told you, no, we came out there, went to Mars, planned from there, and then germinated Earth, and then came here. Correct? Then they find stones here on this planet that come from Mars. But they didn't find any stones on Mars. It came from Earth. So if we put this in proper sequence, it must be we came to Mars first, and from Mars we came to Earth. But he don't want to deal with that. You know why? Because genetically, by the thickness of his lips, he couldn't have been around that long.
Right.
Because he made what they refer to as evolutionary charts. And he started dating things according to carbon and how old they were.
Right.
And when they look at him and his regressiveness, you can figure out by how fast a fire burns out, how long it took to burn out. You follow that?
Right.
So if you have regressive genes, I can see by how fast you are regressing, how long it took you to get to that state, and thus tell you exactly how old you are. So now, if between 1970, now you that date, and 1997, we're having more and more complaints about how the sun
and now listen to the Supreme Grand Master Naya Malachi Zoduk L.
But out of that chaos is coming a certain amount of awareness.
Right.
These kids are now starting to talk about the conditions that's taking place.
The death of Tupac is a symbol death. You follow? You're starting to realize some of you people are taking this business a little too serious. The whole hip hop thing is a business. We're making money. We're playing games. We're not real games. You want to meet the real gangsters, go to Sicily. You need real gangsters.
Right.
Don't think they're no real gangsters. I don't guys don't think they're real gangsters out there. So now we're in our hands a couple of kids, a couple of fathers, a couple of sons, a couple of brothers have lost their lives. And it's gotten quiet. But there's an awareness amongst all of them. This new doctrine is able to get these kids to stop killing each other. Because when we meet here on Savior's Day, if you're here for 4 days, you're going to see all of these here. Groups that would normally be rivaling against each other. They would hate each other. For no reason other than they wear a different color head rag, I think they say. Or one does this. Which is nobody reptilian symbol. And the other one's doing this. I don't know what they're going to do. I didn't see that movie. But they'll all be here on Savior's Day together as a family. So somebody said, see them Milwaukee over there? Yeah. They don't drink. Wait, I take that back. We do drink. We drink water, milk, soda, you know, wine, beer, but we don't be drunk. Correct? We don't smoke any kind of drugs. Any kind of drug. You understand that? We're not polygamous. We're not Muslims. We don't have hundreds of wives. If you still have hundreds of wives, then the next hand's off, you gotta cut it out. We're not having it anymore. And I say, if men can have more than one wife, then women can have more than one husband. No more. You follow me? No more women walking behind men, shut up and you shut up. When a man says shut up, say why, and then prepare to go. But stand up. It's time to stand up. This is what we teach. Now, what's starting to happen is we appeal to the younger generation for some reason. The bottom line is we open our doors by opening my mind and heart to reach out to the 5% and say, let me take your book that you have been sitting on since 1960-something and doing nothing with, and the kids are only going from little bits of rhetoric, so they don't have a full understanding of what's in those so-called 120 or plus of them. So, being you can't afford to do it, or just don't want to do it, let me put the book in one cover so every 5%, or God, they got 8 cents now, every one of them can have a copy of it. So maybe they can see that we're not that different than they are. But as long as they got a couple of fanatical leaders who want to control their congregation, this is one of our biggest problems, control of the congregation. They're afraid that their followers might come to me. And if I wanted their followers to come over to me and not be 5%, I wouldn't put up a 5% flag.
Right.
I'm saying if you're 5%, that's people even need to still be a part of the Milwaukee family. We ain't into it. We're not getting caught up on a religious practice.
Okay.
But nobody can confirm religion. Nobody. You cannot prove to me that there's a God. You can go over a whole bunch of philosophical bullcrap. If I said, prove me, oh, I know there's a God because he created me. That's it. Evolution beats the hell out of that. Quantum physics beats the hell out of evolution and instant creation. And I'm telling you something, they can't do it. And that's the problem. Because they can't do it, there's an emotional trap. The moment I can't verify or justify what I believe in, they can't want to do it differently. I regret that to an elephant. Or a gorilla, or a bull. You know what I'm saying? That's why we went out there with so many questions at people. But I did not go out there with questions before I did 25 years of questioning. I did 25 years of standing up in front of people in New York City, opened the doors and said, come in and ask me anything you want to prove what I'm saying wrong. If you do, I say, I'll follow you. All I want to do is change positions because I see the baby. Now, man, I'm on the same record with deep. Change the world, that was deep. Now, put that record, if you pretend that's a very intelligent method. That's all I was concerned. So I did that for the 5%. You with me? The subtotal comes down to most people don't know what they're talking about. The first criteria for dealing with a Muslim is, do you speak Arabic? is not going to stop using Arabic. Mm-hmm. If you don't speak the language of the Quran, then give it up. The problem then, that doesn't mean you understand it, because I know many Muslims who speak Arabic and don't understand the Quran. Right. Otherwise, there wouldn't be so many Muslims back. Mm-hmm. If they all understood it just by virtue of citing it from Arabic, then all of them would have the same belief. There wouldn't be so many Sunni, Shia, Ahmadiyya, Baha'i, and on and on and on.
Right.
So we, as a people, are vulnerable because we're like a baby mind. And because we're riding off of, I've been abused. That's what we use, I've been abused, the white man abused me. So we're looking for any way to get even, like the doctor. So we like to join anything, Dr. Tanner goes, black box. And hope that the white man goes, you know, black box, the white man goes, I mean, they're not as involved in the black power thing as you are. Keep on saying, they don't care about, you know, black power, black, light on. That is why we're going like this. What's the big deal? But let's see what you're doing.
Right.
If you feel that the system, if you feel the system is failing you, what do you do? Are you setting up a school system? Columbus did not discover America. You can't discover something somebody's already on, first of all. Lucky didn't come to America, he wouldn't fit it. But when he got here, it was all that. We were already here for all that. Mao building, long before, more. Alright, so I'm not teaching that to my son. I'm sorry, I'm just not going to teach my son your life. You need those that make you feel good. I understand that. You're supposed to make yourself feel good to your kids. But because you went over to Africa and stole a large amount of the board up here, the problem is, you have an obligation to teach us about us, if you say we're free. If I'm not free, then you don't have to, then you continue to teach me that George Washington was the first president, when that's just not a fact.
Come on.
There were 16 presidents before George, and 9 of them were black.
That's
right. The man who put George Washington in office, name is John Hanson. Look it up, and it'll tell you right in your dictionary, John Hanson, a black president, a Moore.
Now,
when did you get
your name from?
Huh?
When did you get
the
president?
I'll give you. I'm writing a book on it.
Oh,
okay. Right. But it's not mystical. You can go to any computer and bring up John Hanson, and they'll tell you one of 9 black presidents. And they'll give you Native American. And they'll also give you Frenchmen who came over here and married Washita women, a black tribe, and had children, and those children were governors. There's a woman right now, still alive, recognized by the President of the United States as an immigrant. Recognized as the real owner by deed of the land from Louisiana to Canada. Recognized right now. They ain't telling you about her. They killed her husband. They killed her father, they killed all her children, but she worked her way up, right, and went and got to and retrieved the record, went all the way to France and traced the record down to D, and can trace her descendants 5 generations back. And prove it, and the government, the President of the United States, has issued her the right to be a separate country in this country right now. She has her own license plate, her own driver's license. They don't have to pay any tax, and it's not exclusively for blacks. Don't start fighting, don't start whatever it is. It's for anybody who is willing to join in that land. And it's going on right now. Sheikh Daoud, a Moroccan, a Moor, who I study under.
Correct.
Also got the same right in the Emancipation Proclamation to claim all those who followed him in his thing called the Islamic Mission of America, right out of car years ago, as Moors. Thus not subject to biblical law, because George Washington, in a letter to the Sultan of Morocco, said, I know there are some Moors that have mixed in with the slaves. And any and all of them that want to claim sovereignty is free and sovereign, not as slaves.
You understand that? You have in America about a 14% slave. The rest are not slaves. The rest of you have been trying to find out why your hair is not all together now. And why your nose is a little too long. And your eyes might be a little too slanted. Not, it doesn't do melanin color. Wondering why you don't look like anybody you've ever seen in any of the parts of Africa. It's simply because you're not an African. You're an indigenous person from one of the Native American tribes here. You follow what I'm saying? You belong to the Shoshone, or the Iroquois, the Washita, the Tunis, the original Cherokee, the Trail of Tears, you were on. 75% of the Trail of Tears is you. This is a fact. This is documented. And believe me, you know if I tell you about it, I'm going to put it in the book. And I'm going to play that crap. You understand what I'm saying? So when you're wondering why you don't feel so African, it's because you're not an African. Remember, the word Africa is an insult.
Yeah.
Our land extended all the way from California down to Chile, all the way over to the Persian Gulf. Nod was on the other side of the Persian Gulf, the land of Nod, where the so-called character in the Bible came. Was afraid to go outside of our land, the land of Moors. And told his father, I'm afraid in your Bible, what are they going to do? Those who find me out there are going to kill me, even in your Bible, in Genesis. If Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel were the only four people on the planet 4,004 years ago by Jehovah's Witness and 6,000 years ago by Muslims, if they were the only people on the planet and Cain killed Abel, leaving Adam, Eve, and then who was Cain telling his father he was afraid was going to kill him when he got to the land of Nod. Who was he talking about? There was nobody on the planet. No, the whole world to us was that land. North America was called Atlantis. South America was called Mexico. And Africa was called Sudan, where they get the word Aswan. The illusion which causes confusion is to tell people that they're not black, don't use the title black. When in actuality, when you translate the word more or else, you get the word black. When you translate the word push, you get the word black. When you translate even the word Ethiopia from Egyptos, you get burnt face and Egypt. When you take the word Ham and translate Ham, you get the word black. Midian, who moved into Egypt, a descendant from Noah, from Ham, black. But in the records that were kept in Latin, we have another word for black. Negative. Acts chapter 13, verse 1 of your Bible has the word negative. Acts 13, 1. Write it down. Don't believe me. Nigger. It says nigger, and it means black. 13.1. You got a Bible open and read it. In ancient Latin language, where all the history was being recorded, negra was identified with the color. Moreno was the state. They had to stop calling you more Moreno because it identified with that state that God was in before life. But the word meta only dealt with the color of this bush of feathers and did not deal with supreme balance. So as you trace your story in his story, you will find the word more in Maurice. Saint Maurice, You know what they're going to say, Marie? Amor. Who refused to murder Germans. So the Irish declared him a saint when he wasn't even together. Constitution of the country. You know what it is? Our Iroquois. Because the Iroquois gave the Constitution to whom? Thomas Paine. Who then rewrote it. And then they took it and changed it. And took from 13 to 20 out and threw it away. And then added 20 new but never had it signed. And if you go seek out from 13 to 20 of the Constitution, what you can find, the one that was signed, you find out it says, no more can be held slave. No more. And then it says, who are more? The indigenous people of this land. Dark people, they say, the women. They took it out and tried to hide it. But Philadelphia kept it on record. Say, this is why they got to come up with a tale about those guys are involved in this stuff. There's this cult thing with this, and he can tell them about extraterrestrials coming. We better go out there and try to stop that. They're not interested in my belief in extraterrestrials. They believe more than I do in extraterrestrials. I don't spend $20-something million every independent day. Give me $20-something, give me $20 million if I make a movie about blowing up the White House. They should go to the person. Go to the person who made the movie Independence Day and ask them, why do you want to blow up the White House? Because whoever conceived the thought, the story conceived the thought. They should be saying this fool, why don't you make a movie? Don't we have enough problem with dumb arrows remaining without you putting more thoughts in the air to make it look possible and show them how to do it? And if it ends our computers, and you can reverse our computers and use them against us, and everybody knows what hack is off. So they should be taking the man who wrote the movie and sit down with him, the psychiatrist, and say, Mr. why do you want to blow up the White House? Well, it's only a movie. Start again. Why do you want to kill the president? You know what I'm saying? We're going to until we start just about there. Yeah. Anybody who spends millions of dollars making a movie about nothing, especially if there's not a market for it yet. And they don't know if there was going to be a good market. It happened to be a good market. But they didn't know that when they invested in it. So they believe more in UFOs than I do. And Miz is right about coming right behind, thank you. Men in Black. Which is supposed to be left over from Hitler's Secret Service group. There was a group called Miz, Men in Black, Hitler's Secret Service group from Anarch. When America went over there and got beat up, people don't know this. It's a whole long story. You understand what I mean? I'm not just understand. When I say you understand me, this is Jamaican. You understand why they don't like me? They don't like me because I'm telling y'all where to go find facts. Mm. Now, when you get a certain amount of consciousness, you don't need racism no more. Mm. You don't have to look at people and say, I don't like you because they're lighter than me. You can see that the Most High God, Allah, didn't stand for that to happen. Otherwise, they wouldn't have made that borderline so thin between us. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying we should all go out married. Because if Caucasian people marry black people on a large scale, that is the end of their race. That's not racism. That's fact. I'm not supporting the KKK concept of separation by history. That's what I mean. I mean that if we are to stay as beautiful of a garden as we are, we're going to be garden all kinds of flowers, then people better stop this cross breed. Because if you keep cross breed, the only people going to be left on the planet is us. Because we were there before everybody got there. Even if you say we were monkeys, you were here. You understand? I don't know. You were there with monkeys now. We're monkeys, but we're here. Monkey there. And it's important that you don't destroy racist people. Because every living thing is a part of the chain of life. We all play a part in it. And as species die, we call it extinct. And man is Gaia. Gaia, Mother Nature, is angry with us. Very angry. Flood, tornado, earthquake, hurricane. Mother Nature, or God, or whatever you want to say, is angry with humanity for the stupid things we do to each other and her. You follow that? Our lack of communication with her. Our refusal to link ourselves back in as a part of the soil and the spirit. Mother Nature is mad. And food is going bad. And people's minds are going bad. We're in a bad state today. So of course, they don't mean what happens every 25,000 years one of us is born. The Hindus call us avatar. I was referring to it as an Amanubi Rakata. The word Aman means that you're a tree of rock, a sun person, coming in as a sun cycle for the pattern. Amanubi Rakata, as they say, as Amanubi Rakata. We are born to rectify, to re-enlighten you. The alignment comes when we come. The planet shifts when we come. They know that we're here. Oh, that's the balance. Evil and good is balance. You cannot have a world of all good. Because it will conceive evil in another form. Evil will become anyone that disagrees or uncooperates. You follow that? Defect would be evil. Maim would be evil. Blindness would be evil. If all was supposed to be good. But it's not. It's supposed to be bad. And religion teaches everything got to be good. And it creates an imbalance in the universe. And it's the root of all the hate and racism and war and separation and destroying everything. And when that happens, it is time for your history to be renewed. And it's time for you to become aware of the divine in you. You follow? An awakening takes place that you are one of God. That Ra sent Osiris to this planet and his wife Isis to this planet, and they lived there amongst the nature or amongst nature in harmony. And then he sent Seth. And Seth was Osiris' brother. And Seth was jealous of Osiris and Isis. And wanted Isis or Uset for himself. So he put on a big banquet at the party of Osiris or Osir. And he made a beautiful sarcophagus made to fit the size of Osiris only. And he had his men, his warriors, which they call fallen angels, came with him, get and said, "Pop the sarcophagus, I want to see if it fits my loving brother." You follow? And he put him in the sarcophagus and he sealed it. And he took him out, set him into 14. These are not true stories. These are metaphors. These are folk tales of actual influence. See, when you go back to the forest and you say, well, where did Ra come from? They'll say, from the primal egg, the black egg. The black egg is represented by the black god. The black god is represented by the soul. They say three principles to soul in ancient, the ka, the ba, and the ah. And those three principles are the principles of the universe, person, places, and things. The only time person, places, and things cross is when a divine principle steps in. And when human beings, who, men, rock, without, who, the creative force of will, the god men in ancient Egypt, always comes back as well. And when two men become conscious of the God, then the principle of persons, places, and things are broken by the principle now and then. When then becomes now, and then becomes now. When a people or a being completes his growth or his evolution from what he is supposed to be to what he is, then he is reached the point of now. With me? If he looks at his past and everything that brought him to now, he will look over his left shoulder and see it as then. If he intends to perfect the dot now, then from here on there'll be no more changes. Acquisition, inquisitiveness are gone. I now know. So the next then is always going to be the same as right now. I don't want to sound stupid to you. As I come to life and I hear the whole witness, that was back then, man. And they talk to me about God and Jesus Christ and the Jehovah's Witness Bible, I'm very interested. And I sit down with some Jehovah's Witness, they come in my house, and I'm convinced this is the truth. You follow? Right now, I'm convinced. However, if I walk a little further and I run into a Seventh-day Adventist, and they say, well, the Jehovah's Witness got a lot of truth. However, they forget about the Shabbat, and they don't eat pork, and so. And I can show you the Bible where there's only pork, and keep the Shabbat, and what was then important to me is no longer important to me now. I now have a new now. Do we ever reach the end of now?
No.
Wrong. We do reach the end of now. When now, then, and then stops. Because there are no more Jehovah's Witnesses or Seventh Day Adventists or Blackness or whatever to change my life. I now know. And you can never change me. I'm not going to be converted to nothing now. I now know. I want to call it a kind of awareness because I did the research. I wasn't indoctrinated. I was brainwashed. But brainwashed is one of those games or play on words to make you think that it's wrong to be brainwashed. But if I was a smoker and a drinker and a druggie and I had all in my brain, I wish you would wash my brain so I could get a cleaner brain. This is where evil is made look good and good is made look evil when he takes words and he took them and say, you are brainwashed. He says, thank you. Because if I wash this shirt, you get clean. If I wash my brain, all that garbage you taught me is gone, then. And once I'm in the state of now, because I have done my own research and I have confirmed everything and I know there's nothing coming, but in other words, I have found myself. I'm comfortable with what I am. My biggest fear and problem is how much I intimidate others because I am scared to be so content with what I am. They seem to be bothered. They say, well, I'm a Nawapi. Yes. The person believes in sound, right, reason. What do you mean by that? We believe that you shouldn't believe, you should investigate. You believe that you must believe to get through the problem case. You follow that? We don't believe anything. Call me an atheist. Call me a black devil. Call me a Satanist. Call me all the things you need to keep you happy. But if you say atheist, I'm going to say atheos. I'm going to say A in Greek again. Theos, or Greek deity. I'm not Greek, I'm not an atheist. Satanist, Satana,
Satan, Hebrew word Satan. What does it mean? Serpent person. I'm not a serpent person. You know, those people. This is phonetic, too. Phonetics in it. I'm not phonetic. Etymology. You know, I can play word games. Words are not games. Games are created for words. Words are not created for games. And this is called right knowledge. It bothers people. It bothers people because just make all you say to them, don't say anything to me that you don't intend to prove. In the forum of that, I don't mean I'm not going to go play golf or tennis and have fun because I've been joking, kicking, and popping, and all that, and fantasize about life. That's real, too, in a sense. But when you start talking about my soul, heaven, hell, God, nature, universe, I'm going to ask you questions. And if you cannot answer the question, I'm just not going to accept you. In that field, not in the chess board, you know, in a chess game, I mean, that's but if you start asking, you start talking about religion, you say, I'm Reverend whatever, and I came to teach you that Jesus is your personal savior, I'm going to say, well, okay. So, I don't want to be rude, but what does personal mean? I mean, because you use it. I mean, you want me to get out of the church before this is passed, I'll leave. But if you do that and I caught it, I just want to know, what does personal mean? Does it mean mine? So do I need you to talk to them for me? Yeah. So they'll tell you, a reverend will tell you, think God spoke to my heart now. And God told me to tell you. He said, wait, before you go any further, man, he didn't even know God personally. He's my personal savior. Would you give him my telephone number? I can talk to him myself. You know what happened?
They get mad.
They consider that disrespectful. They consider that arrogant. But because I simply want to know.
Right.
You tell me Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I'm saying, even the sins I committed after he died. But I know when I was a kid, I could do all kinds of stuff to my little brother and sister, steal this stuff, give me that. Is that sin? What is the sin thing? What's the criteria for sin? Who decided? God is sitting on the book with those things of sin. The Santa Claus story again? You know, those are the good get gifts and those are the bad, don't get gifts.
I don't need that no more.
I need to become conscious of who and what I am.
Right.
If I go back to your Bible, and I go back to Genesis, and I read in the Bible because it's what you believe, it tells me I'm a living soul. It says I breathe into man the breath of life, and man became
living
soul. So now, then, lecture me on living soul. Before we go any further about who saved me, why he came, who down on forces and heaven, tell me about what is your knowledge of living soul. First of all, you need Hebrew, of course, because living soul is in Hebrew. So you have to give me a Hebrew reference. I can't use an English King James. He was, you know, King James wasn't Hebrew. So I mean, you can tell me what living soul means, but that's what God says I am. And if you can't, did you get a reference up there for him?
No.
Then I'm ready to get thrown out the church. They're going to be jealous. So, the almighty, all-powerful being in the universe, of which you are a part of in all religions and mixture, said that all of you must know. And that the only way that we can stop the ignorance is that all of you must start asking questions. And you are going to be persecuted for righteousness. They're going to revile you and say all manners of evil against you falsely. Not for my name, but for the Heavenly Father's name.
Always.
You understand me? But we have to stop going into vanity. We've got to establish manners. This is what we are. And that can only be done by the retrieval of facts. By going out and using facts. Don't tell me I am an African. Or just a Native American. Which tribe of Native Americans? And where did they come from? You mean don't just give me the package. Give me the meat in the package. And if you can't keep the package, because you'll be confused anymore. and or give me the direction for which I can search the facts. That's all. And that's the day and time you're in. And because I've done my best. I heard Bible. Let me translate it for you from Greek. Quran, let me translate it for you from Arabic. Torah, let me give it to you from the original Hebrew. Now make sure if you got one where I translated, I put the word next to it. So if you don't believe me, you can go to a song, go into a dictionary, and see if that's the same word. And give it to me. Just to see that, yeah, I'm not lying. But it gives you another working when you're dealing with people, and they say, well, in the Bible, you say, which Bible? King James. I'm not interested in King James, but he doesn't even give me a chance. He doesn't even have a comparison that I can check the words out. But I can investigate what he said. I'm stuck with what he said. I don't need that. I try to cover every subject, and this is why they can grab one of the subjects that I've got covered, extraterrestrials, all the extraterrestrials in our midst, and try to arrive at the and say, you see, he teaches about extraterrestrials. So it must be affiliated with some suicide cult in California. Make it easy. When you only give one type of knowledge, develop, they have to pinpoint. But when you're a person like me, you try to cover everything, there's so many ways they can play that game.
Jesus in Jerusalem. None.
There's no recorded history of a man named Jesus Christ living in Jerusalem. You say, well, of course not. He was in Hebrew. Yeshua HaMashiach in Hebrew. He wasn't there either. If it was, if he was, all we ask is quite simple. Give us the proof that the man existed. You don't even know when the nigga was born. Walk up to y'all and say, when shall be God? Is Jesus his father? Because I'll open this Bible to St. John, and St. John will tell you the same spirit is what? Enlightens every man that cometh into the world. The God clearly says in the book of St. John, chapter 1, that that is the same spirit that enlightens every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world was made by him, the world was not. Right there it says that if Jesus was an incarnation of God by virtue of a spiritual incarnation, that every living being here is also a Jesus. Because it says about I breathed into him, my spirit became a living soul. God admits to have placed himself in the chest of everybody here. Now, if Jesus was a physical man, now say that, because once we get recorded about the cross story, and I say, why was he on the cross crying? Why was he on the cross? Nothing. Why did he seek not to be crucified? You say that was the mortal side of him. Jesus was born into this world to die on the cross for your sins that you may be saved. Is that what y'all teach? Yes or no? Yes. That means if Jesus was the Spirit of God incarnated in flesh, then he knew before he got into the body everything that would happen to him while he's in that body. Wouldn't he? Yes, he would. So once he got in the body, and he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he told his disciples, wait here for me. Yeah. And he went a little further, he fell on his face and sweated blood. He said, oh my father, this it would be possible. Let this come, the heck was he talking to? If he was the father. Oh my father, if it be possible, let this come pass by me. Not if I will, but the vow won't be done. Who is God talking to? Unless God also had a God and father. And God and a father, that makes more sense to me because Jesus said, I am the way. Truth and life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. So Jesus came to lead people to the Father. He was not who we should be led to. We were supposed to be led to the Father. And Jesus defined the presence of the Father as our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be
thy name.
Thy kingdom
come.
Thy will
done.
On earth as it is
in heaven.
His will was already happened in heaven. Give us this
day
our daily bread. He didn't ask Jesus for no bread. They were talking to the Father.
Try again.
He didn't say, hi, Father. He said, pray after this matter. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed, holy, or sacred be thy name. Right? Is that what it says in Matthew?
Yes.
How are people getting married in the name of Jesus
yes.
when the Father's name is sacred? How are people getting married in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ when the Father is sacred? When the kingdom that we need on earth is the kingdom that's in heaven. Already ruled by the heavenly Father. Who? All this. Who deceived them? Who shifted around? Why? Why do they have you worshiping the Son and not the Father? Why do they have you marrying him, getting buried, having ritual in the name of baptism, in the name of the Son and not the Father? Why?
Because you can't handle the truth. You don't want to know the real Jesus. You like Paul's fake Jesus. Doctor that Bible up and muster it up and change it around to hide reality. The wedding at Cana was Jesus' wedding. Say what? No, Jesus was invited there. Why? Why would Jesus be invited to somebody's wedding he didn't know?
Right. Right.
Why is the man who got married name mentioned in the book? And why would they say Jesus saved the last wife to the end? And why would they ask Mary or tell Mary they ran out of wine? What would Mary have to do with the wedding? They walked up to Mary and said, we have no wine. You tell your son? And she went and told Jesus. Jesus said, she looked back over their door. Tell them there. That you have water in it than wine in there. They walked over and said, oh my God, it's working. You say that was a miracle. They say in Christianity that was before Jesus' first miracle. So if it was a miracle, then he must have lived in that house. Whose house was it? Mary of Magdalene's house. His wife. He had children. His mother Mary had children before Jesus was born. And then he looked like the Blessed Mother Mary was walking along, and the Spirit jumped out of heaven on her. She had six other kids before Jesus was born. She wasn't no virgin. The prophecy of Isaiah said, a virgin shall give birth. Read the Bible, you find out that James, Joseph, Mary, and John are the children that Mary had before Jesus was born. So she wasn't no virgin. Why are they lying to you? Why don't they want you to know the truth? Because you can't handle the truth. You don't want the truth. You love living this lie. It's so convenient. But when you start pointing out the facts, people get upset. They get mad. They start calling you a blasphemer, antichrist. They got all kinds of names to call you, keep you from waking up people and showing them the truth. There is no such thing. There's no God sitting up on the throne with his all-merciful love for you. No. You need that love because your parents deserted you. But you need a parent. So you made God a loving old man and said, oh, come on. And when this God who controls nature does things that you cannot justify as merciful, you block it. It never didn't happen. We were talking about this the other day. A big windstorm took place the other day. You remember it?
Yeah.
Well, the nature was working. A woman and a man was walking along with their baby. The wife had the baby. This is true story. And the wind got so heavy that the man, being the leader of the house as he was still, or had been taught to believe, grabbed the baby from the wife to hold the baby. And the whirlwind snatched the baby out of the man's arm, and they have not seen the baby since. This is I got a problem. The Florida, a woman down the road, and called the baby. This is last week. Right? She hit the ditch and Wade came through the car, grabbed the baby. They have not seen the baby since. Now, who's doing that? The devil? So the devil controls the weather. When it's sunny on your picnic and y'all have a successful event, did the devil give you all a successful event? Who controls the weather, God or the devil? Who controls the tornadoes and the earthquakes and the floods and the landslides? Who is controlling it, God or the devil?
Because when you get right down to it and find out how destructive it is, you don't want to even believe that God would do such things. But you know what? It's happening every day. Who makes a child born blind? Who makes a child born without limbs? Who is responsible for Siamese twins joined at the head and sharing one brain? And the family has to decide which one of these children will live. Becomes the deciding factor between life and death for one of those children. Who controls those type of things? Who decides that a gang is having a drive-by shooting and a man is walking with his daughter all of a sudden and bang, these kids are popping off these guns and a little kid. Have you heard that happen?
Yeah.
A lot?
Yeah.
And the kid falls dead. Who controls that? That's all the devil, Mom. No, it's not the devil. The devil doesn't have that kind of power. Read your book of Job. In order for the devil to do something devilish, he has to get God's permission. The devil was once an angel also who fell from grace, but he did not have any power over Job until he made a deal with God. You hear me? And even the book of Genesis, where Cain is afraid of being killed, for killing his brother, God assures him, when they kill you, I will put seven curses on them. The devil does not have the power to move without God's permission. You hear me? Read your Bible. The devil comes before God humbly. He bows before God. He gets permission from God. So again, I ask, who's responsible for the conditions of the world? Who's responsible for certain children being born into poverty? That could be anything. No, that's not me. I mean, when you go over to Africa, a rich land, rich in minerals and resources, and you take a people out of that condition, and you bring them over to America, or let it happen. Not the people did it, the forces let it happen. And they plant them in America, and in four generations they're on welfare, don't have no money, can't get jobs, don't get fair education. I ask again, who is letting this happen? And why? The devil? Again? You see, you got to give up this God-devil crap, because it's convenient for people. But every time something goes wrong, we blame it on the devil. Every time something appears to go right, we say, thank you, God. Even to the point, like I said many times, where a car accident occurs, and three people in the car die, and one gets out, the person that gets out, the family says, thank you, God, for getting the three other people to die. You know, like that crash I mentioned a couple of months ago? A helicopter crash. No, sorry. A car crash, and one man is on critical dying, other people are dead. The family gets in a crash site. A helicopter comes in, puts the man in a helicopter, and is on his way to the hospital. The whole family got hope, and the solar helicopter gets caught in electrical wires and crashes, and the man dies. Ain't that another news? Who is responsible for that kind of stuff? The devil? Y'all better wake up. Realize we got to make things happen for ourselves.
when Jesus was talking about our Father who art in heaven, he was making it clear that his Father was not on earth. And I'll take you to this Bible, and I'll show you where his Father was on earth. What did we say? Genesis 4, right? It's the story of Cain and Abel. Genesis 4. I want you guys to pay attention to this case. Okay, let's do this. Let me start around verse 23. First thing I want you to notice in this chapter is the use of the word Lord, which is Yahweh. They're not using God, and they're not using the Lord God. They stop using God in this chapter all the way up into the last verse. You see why? Very typical. Full of crap. I hate to say that, but Bobby is tough. Let's look at this point. You don't mind me taking your dog glasses off so I can see this. Alright. Let's take verse 5, verse 5. When unto Cain, under his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very worked, that means angry, and his countenance fell. Now listen close. And the Lord, Yahweh, said unto Cain, why? Why? God had to ask him why. Shouldn't God know? Isn't God the all-knowing? Is this God talking maybe? Or maybe not. This being talking to Cain didn't know why he was angry. Okay, watch. Why art thou worried? And why is thy countenance fallen? If he had if, doesn't he know if he's going to do it? Isn't it God? Should he know? He said, if thou dost well, shalt thou not be accepted? By whom? I'm talking to God. Who did this set me with you? You can just do it. Just go. Why is God making it sound like if he does good, somebody else is going to accept it? You with me? You see? Is that on there? Oh, yeah, y'all with me. Okay. Heck, y'all can work with me enough. And if thou does not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire. And thou shalt rule over him. Sin is a him. Sin is a person, a male gender, not a it. It was in the verse. But him is now. Sin is not something the Christians talk about, or the Jews or the Muslims talk about, some type of force, not according to this book here. And the Quran came from the Torah. Sin is a he, a person. That's what God said. And you can change it what you feel like. Look up in the Hebrew. Now listen, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Could God have prevented that? Why didn't he? Why didn't God, he just got to talking to him the verse before, why didn't he just say, Cain, don't kill your brother?
Right. Right.
You hear me?
Right.
Don't kill your brother. I know it's tricky because I'm God. I see your anger. I see your conscience. Don't kill your brother. We accepted him. He did the best he could do with this offering. You did a shabby job, and we don't accept it. Don't kill your brother. No, that's not what happened. He let him rise up and kill him. Go on. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? God don't know where he's at. God is not able to see from all of us anywhere. Well, we've been told while we was in our churches and our messages and our synagogues that God was all our sins and monitored everything we did and looked after us and protected us. But God is right here telling you, I don't know where you are. I don't see every one of you. I don't answer everyone's prayers. This is a hard truth, y'all. You may not like the way it sounds, but you're religious. But it has to be the truth. I'm going to be right out your case, James Miles. Although he's not with you. And ain't got a word of you. We can go up to the number and see the Hebrew just to make sure. You with me? This is in the Bible. God don't know. Okay, now listen to this time. He says, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? You talking to God like that? You can tell me, you talking to the almighty, powerful, lightning causer? Cold giver, headache maker? You tell him, am I my brother's keeper? You got this person, you know why he's like this? Because we're going to get a little further and you're going to find out he's talking to someone face to face. He ain't talking to no spirit, no spook, no force. He's sitting there talking to a man. Watch. Verse 10. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? Hello? God just put a question. That question all over there? God said, what have you done? Doesn't God know? Are you with me? You read this every day. Reverend Pope chapter passes this off every day. And they're not touching on these little words, these little final points that may break a spell and make us give them this crap back and go on about our lives and get something done.
Right.
Sitting around waiting for something to happen out of heaven. Your grandmother and great-grandmother and great-great-grandmother all died thinking Jesus was going to save them. Said Jesus is coming back to save them. And they all died for suffering, arthritis, illnesses, in hospital beds, with their Bible in their hand, praying. Because there ain't nothing out here coming for you called Jesus or God. This is a good story. The greatest story in the world. Well, that. Now, on verse 11. And now, art thou cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. This is not a God talking. This is a farmer. Number 14. Behold, thou hast given me out this day from the face of the earth. You see that? And what? And from thy face. The word in Hebrew for face, they put payun, but it's payin. A face or a surface. He's saying to God, you have taken me off of this place, and I can't look at you face to face no more. God got a face like yours, that Cain is looking at. It's going to go on too. I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. Which is kill me. Nobody's on the earth. Nobody's on the earth. Just Adam, Eve, Cain. Because he killed Abel. Who is going to kill him? Who is he talking about? I'll tell you who he's talking about. The giants and the other beings that have come to this planet.
Right.
That were on this earth in light of Genesis chapter 6. Goliath seed. You know why Goliath seed? Because this Bible tells you they had six fingers and six toes. With me? You walk away with that. Six fingers and six toes. Nobody in this room got six full-grown fingers and toes. These little pumps and stuff. Oh yeah. I put pictures of them in books for you to see, haven't I? Well, if this is close, if Jesus, if God incarnate, And Jesus is reported to have had five fingers besides those according to them. And man is in the image not the likeness of God. Everybody hold their hands for me. How many things you got? Bring a little gold. How many toes you got? So we created man in our image and after our likeness. Now whose image and likeness is the people with six fingers and six toes? Where the hell are they from? Because if we're in the image of God, and Jesus was in the image of God, and we saw the five fingers, but if Jesus had five, six fingers, six toes, they would have said, he had five fingers and five toes like everybody else in there. Why is the Bible talking about people with six fingers and six toes? Go read the story of Goliath in 2 Kings to find it. Where they come from? There are people on this planet. You do not fall up under your Adamic creation story. Understand? And I'll show you that in a minute. All right, where were we? So now Cain was afraid that some people killed him that didn't even exist. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. How do you walk away from the Lord? How can you walk away from an omnipresent being? You can't walk away. This is God. I can't walk away from God. And God is seeing everything. This Bible says he walked out of the presence of God. Did it? Is up there? How did he do that? Unless God was standing there talking to him face to face. They'll say that was Jesus. Then why don't you speak? Huh? It says Jesus in the New Testament. Why would it say that? Well, the Old Testament is made a prophecy for Jesus. Show me Jesus' name in the Old Testament. He got a name here. Why he had to be named again in the New Testament if he was the same God Old Testament? Why? Why would he get the name Jesus if he was the Jehovah of the Old Testament? Stop kidding yourself. Let me go on. Now the end of the same thing is the same chapter. It says, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son, verse 25, and called his name Seth. For God said, called his name Seth. For God said, she has appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And Seth, what am I reading wrong? And to Seth, correct me up, to him also there was born a son. And he called his name Enos. You know what Enos means? A human being, a mortal being. Can you all bring that up?
Yeah.
Enos. What does it mean? A man. What the heck was being born before that?
Right.
And why would you name your son a man? I'll tell you why. Because the beings before that were called Adam. And they were called God's children. Enos is never called the sons and daughters of man. The Enosites. Right in the Bible. They don't put you back in Hebrew. And you can buy the software and do it in the computer yourself. And kick them back in the butt. Do it, y'all. And now listen to it. Verse 26. This is the last line. Read it with me. Then began men to call the name of the Lord. Let's go back to verse chapter 4, all right? Chapter 4, verse 1. Got it? And Adam knew Eve, his wife, right?
Yeah.
And she what? Great. Great. Now, I've gotten a man from the Lord back in 4, and 5 is the first time they call him the name Lord. Now, wait. How can he be the Lord in 4, and 5 is the first time, the last verse of it when he first called him, the last verse of 4 is when they first start calling on the name of the Lord. Is this a first out of place? Did someone lie? Are they trying to trick us and play with our soul so they can keep us mentally enslaved in religious bullcrap? A little further. Let's open verse 5 and see what happens here. Chapter 5, I'm sorry. This is the what? Of bread. You know what it's changed from Lord Elohim now? Bring up God to be Elohim. Then left Lord Yahweh and went to a new thing. And watch what happened here. Because you know, see, if I go back to Genesis 1, can you go back to Genesis 1? And go to God. In the beginning, there were one. Look. It's such my job now. Y'all can't happen in now. In the beginning, God and the Word of God did what? And now we jump to Lord God in the Lord, and now we get back to 5 and start back on God again. Because it's talking about creation again. That tells us this verse 5 belongs further back, isn't it? And let's see what it says. Back to 5. Number 2. Male and female. Could you click on the word male, please? What's his name? What's his name? Go ahead. Adam is not the man's name. Adam was the holy. I'm going to show it to you. Right down there. You with me? Male and female created he them and blessed them and called what?
Their name.
Eve's name was Adam?
No.
Eve's name was Adam? Or was that a tribe of people? Adamites. Enoshites. Two separate tribes. Sons of God and sons of men.
Right.
When you get to Genesis chapter 6, the next verse, it says, and it came to pass when, you know what the method is? Bring it up. You get it? Yeah. What is it? When the Adamites don't have men there, they're not there, they're lying to you. When the Adamites began to multiply on earth, and what? Daughters were born unto them. Great, which were them? The sons of who? Click on God. Click on God. The sons of Elohim. Genesis 1, Elohim is the God who created everything.
Yeah.
All human beings are sons and daughters of
Jesus.
Where is Jesus? Right in the Bible. So I look in there. They go word for word from the Hebrew. Realize they are misguiding us. And that's the reason why we're all messed up in the head. That's why we get that wrong. People say, well, where did God come from? No reason to answer. Who created God? Who are those people? I told you about Cain. He left the presence of God and went to the land of Nod. Right? And there he took a wife from who? There ain't nobody on the planet according to your religious Muslim, Christian, and Jewish belief. And that includes our Sabarians too. Y'all believe in Bible crap. Where did Cain take a wife from if nobody was on the planet? Don't quote our doctor. You call me crazy. Crazy like a fox out of the sons of God saw what? That they were?
Yeah.
Bring up the word fair.
They always say that means light.
No, it doesn't. The Hebrew word for agreeable. No, that they were agreeable. Can I do a confession? Isn't it good to look in the Bible and see what it says? Light means the word for word. How did they this stuff? You can go buy this software.
All right.
I will make one of those. We will have our own stuff.
Amen
to that. And it took them. and wise have always been chosen. Now guess who pops up again?
All right.
A different deity. A questionable deity. And the Lord, what did he say? My spirit, my rock, what? For that he also is blessed. How old shall he be? What did it say there? Now, this is speaking about the Spirit of God being in the flesh and living how long? Christians say Jesus died on the cross at 33 years old. Yes or no?
Yes.
Did Jesus live to be 120 or not?
Yes.
So now who is this Son of God? Who is this Spirit of God? Who is in the flesh? Who will live 120 years? Who is? Peter, only man to live 120 years. The only one. And Moses also, in Exodus chapter 7, they shut down with us. Well, I'll find it.
No, they can't.
Moses gets to go. There you go.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Y'all with me?
Yes.
Exodus chapter 7, verse 1. And who's back in town? What did he say? Said unto Moses, what? Bring it up.
What did the Lord appoint Moses at?
Or what? Moses is the one who's back in the beginning with God or Jesus?
Moses
is called Elohim of God.
Therefore, this small.
Don't be looking at that small D. There was no small D in Hebrew. There is no small D in Greek. Gimel and Goma. There's no such thing as a small D. Don't run that capital G, small G, big G, right? That's only in the English translation to deceive you. You are the Elohim. You are the children and daughters of God. You ain't mere men. The men in this book are called beasts. Are called beasts of the field. Those are the evil beings who walk amongst you. All races. Mixed amongst us, disagreeables. They were not agreeable. So the God that came down from the stars didn't want nothing to do with the one that was disagreeable. They only wanted the one that was dead there that was. They took them and now you're the agreeable one. The word evil in there is the same word, disagreeable. When it says in Genesis, now the man has become like one of us, to know good from evil, watch. Genesis chapter 3, and there are around 20 things on this. You know, y'all. 22. And, is it on the board? And the Lord great, y'all.
And the Lord great, y'all.
Now let's see good. The same word as fair. The being that came from beyond the stars when Jesus said, in my Father's house there are many mansions. Go to the New Testament, please. Go to Matthew chapter 6, please. Because I want Jesus to tell us where his Father's at. I want Matthew chapter 6, I'll follow far.
I'm not looking at this house, y'all, about that.
Are you
age? homeboy wants to go with us. Yeah.
Yes. told you he was a man. A thief. So I was sick. From a race of reptilians. You know what I mean? A group of disagreeable beings who gave this life.
Oh, man. That guy out there believes he's from another planet. That guy out there believes in UFOs, Jimmy Carter, and Jimmy Bush. George Bush both believe and they public that they believe in UFOs. The government has a project called Project Blue Book that the Pentagon financed. They believe in UFOs. They haven't figured out who's cutting the clock circles, who's mutilating the cows, who's abducting these people, and why the people all over the planet are seeing the same little bitch. That's better. They'll tell you, I'm grateful because I'm preparing you to watch out for those malicious people.
Those little devils. You want to make other human beings on earth devils. You want to call somebody who oppresses you the devil. You got the real devils to worry about. Coming to this planet with chromosomes and breed people that look like you but think like them. Walking amongst us, the rebel rousers, the troublemakers, the liars, the violence of the violence, the deceivers, teaching you a false teaching. Telling you some clouds are open up and Jesus comes high down the white horse to your butt. Some mythological gut. Because they don't want you to know the truth. They don't want you to know that you are the son of God. And you are God.
This series of tapes, Psychology vs. Theology, were recorded from classes given this year by the Supreme Grandmaster Dr. Malachi Z. York, known to us as Naya, Malachi Zadok El, our own Pharaoh, Amenubi Rakata. These tapes were released in part so that you may listen and learn the profound facts as taught by the man of this hour. And now, listen to the dynamic teachings of the Supreme Grandmaster Naya, Malachi Zadok El.
UFO. And then what they made a point to do
while they were talking about objects, and they not so much as to the object, but who is buying the object. They drew everybody's attention next to the next form of encounter. What kind of beings or creatures or whatever is flying these crap? You know what I mean? This is subliminally being done to put something in your mind. And what I was trying to do is counteract the ridiculousness by making points like a flying, when you say flying saucer, you're speaking of an aerodynamic craft. If the craft is aerodynamic, then what? It is made here. It's terrestrial. There's no reason for an extraterrestrial being to come across the universe or interdimensionally and then use an aerodynamic craft. Whenever they show you Area 51, and they speak about the craft in Area 51, they never comply to what Bob Lazar says, that he saw a saucer, which comes from two saucers coming together. They say a ball of light, which is more in compliance with some intergalactical or interdimensional driving energy, moving from one side of the universe or one side of the state or dimension to the next. So when they start giving these aliens things up, they show this alien movie recently and all the aliens come to Mars, they pretend they're nice guys, and then they shoot up everybody. They show you a craft that comes out the clouds, which before we've all read the Book of Exodus, when it's shown that Israel was making an exit by the clouds, and we already have to the church stamped in our minds about a semi belief in beings that are from beyond the stars. Now what the science is doing, and they started doing this about 6 months ago, and I don't know if you noticed it, but I did. And they started pushing this, what they call angel phenomenon. Everybody's into angels now. When angels, even at the OJ case, they pointed out the real head on angel Ben. They knew that was one of the most widely watched cases in the country. You know what I mean? They knew they were saying, now what would be an angel? The Greek are called an angel or evil melech or malaika in ancient Egypt, Vetru, amongst the Opi and Sakina, amongst the Nigerians and Shuni. We always had names for beings that came from the star or beyond the star. In ancient Egypt, Faustus was the star, what they call a third star constellation, the Dova. And so now, what would they be doing by planting this angelic belief other than to plant in your mind a group of beings that come from beyond the stars? You with me? Along with that, they planted in Switzerland a guy named Billy Myers. I'm not saying they put him there. The thought, I mean, it's called.
90 seconds.
And he was a Pleiadian group. So when the UFO thing hit, it didn't have room for racism. Because everybody was worried about little brains. We wasn't particularly worried about little brains getting jobs driving buses or running the country. There was no racism involved in the first pair, because everybody was a target. So what the racists of the world had to do is they had to introduce into it the Pleiadians and say, there's a North, there's a North,
seconds.
Here, a North race of superior beings, tall, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, who came from Aldebaran. That entered into the racial problem. Then, of course, this happened back in Hitler's time. Then, of course, the Nubians started saying, well, no, they're not white. They must be. So the original demons got their separation tactics going in a phenomenon that they were planning so that they can justify what was referred to as black money. Black money was so they can get involved in high-tech projects without involving you, because they had lost too many wars. And the tactics of going to Hiroshima and dropping a bomb just did not fit with people right. They had to come to a more sophisticated method of winning wars. That was working on time machines, experimenting with disappearing craft or radar invasion in the Philadelphia incident, and then in the Montauk project they did with time machines. And they started moving to another game, and what became mental. So the government admits that they have people that deal with psychics, because they can show us that in the 70s and the 60s on television, how the Russians had people moving needles, and had Yuri Gagarin was bending spoons, and they were introducing the paranormal into our minds. That people have psychic powers, that can move metal and levitate things. So they opened the doors in the 60s, and every swarmy tip that you could think of from India came running into the United States, sitting in Nazis, humming, 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 and everybody dropping out of college and not going to the military and sitting around with swarmy this and swarmy this and swarmy this and all these guys, these poor Indians, are winning the emotions of the people on this transcendental meditation, So the government put together an organization that says that they do remote viewing. Simple word means we look at things at a distance. Very simple. And they said, so they found the best psychics in the country and put together a team of remote viewers. I'll get back to Hellbot, you see what I'm saying. So now, once they introduced the Hellbot project, and they say behind this massive thing that we don't know what it is, the first thing that goes to mind after all the grooming is it's a UFO. Now, a man named Zachariah Sitchin, a Russian Jew, who's fluent in Swedish for all many other languages, he called it Nibiru, because that's what was in the tablet of the Enuma Elish. Nibiru. Something that it means crosses the start working with me here and start to put the pieces together. You know what I'm saying? All right. There in Zachariah Sitchin's book, he tells you that these beings were the Nephilim of the Bible, Tanakh, the Torah, Genesis 6, that originally cloned the first humans on earth, Lulu, Amalu, Adam and Eve, and that they were going to leave and 3,600 years distance home and 3,600 distance back would be about 6,000 years. And they're coming back to do what? To get their children. Now, Christianity in time has interpreted this as the Muslims say the Mahdi is coming. The Jews say the Messiah or the Messiah is coming. The Buddha say Buddha is coming or Messiah is coming. And everybody now has gotten this thought planted in their mind too. That's to expect some supernatural incident where some beings who were here a long time ago, who created you, left and are coming back to get you. You understand? So now back to Hellbop. So when the Hellbop incident comes, all the people that belong to the 60s that had made the hippie transition was walking around saying peace and love, and the whole world was in a beautiful state because we're taking LSD and everybody was focused on cloud nine and listening to all these swarmies about all of the transcendental meditation. These minds are right for the picture. You with me?
Yeah.
They're right. So when the 60s spirit died, back in the 60s, some group then started committing suicide. Because they were disappointed. So Jim Jones took a group of people, and with the help of the government, who really did execution, by the way, they eliminated those people and made it look like a perfect. Because they was having a cult war in this country. They started this thing called cult busters. The cult busters were really brought to the country out of Christian churches in order to get these swamis and these Muslims and all these fanatical Eastern religions out of here that did not sit straight with the American system that we live in. No shirts and ties, no gray suits, no attaché cases, no more riding in the subway. You know, come on, no more eating meat, no more drinking alcohol, no more smoking drugs, and you follow? And there was big money in all that. There was big money in silk suits, and us buying Italian loaf and alligator shoes, and our pack of sweaters. There was a lot of money there. There was big money in processes and terms for whites and blacks. But don't fool yourself, cocaine is also permanent here. So everybody, there's money there. You follow, there was money in the transcendental thing. Right? Of course, they started selling them, yeah, what do you call those things, Hare Krishna outfits and Hare Krishna. But the government couldn't get his hands on it because it fell up under religion, separated from Satan. So they turned around and looked at the Christians and said, you people have to do something about these foreign invasions. Aliens. What's the difference between an alien from another planet or an Indian who comes in without a green card who's also referred to as an alien? So on the book, alien is alien. I just want to get this piece. You see, but that's just one of the games they play every 10 years to try to stop the possibility of Earth people coming together and start to respect each other as human beings. They have to keep this place set in a way where there's a caste system. You follow that? Where certain people are kept low enough and their intelligence is exploited for fear of dominance. So they say the black Muslims preach black supremacy. But the KKK teaches racial the skinheads preach racial separation, but the evil Israelites preach black brothers. Black are supreme. This, of course, stirs hate. You ain't no better than me. You ain't got his blood is blood, skin is skin. That's the game. Back to hell box. So, with the hell box situation, the first thing that establishes everybody's mind is UFO, behind hell box. Now, they know that hell box is going to be seen by anybody who wants to look up and see it. So the hell box itself will be a confirmation of the possibilities of anything else said about it. You understand what I mean? Make it more believable. When, let's say, Elijah Muhammad said there was a mother plane in the sky built a long time ago by scientists, right? Now, hell box, people there say, maybe that's the mothership. You see the game? The psychological thing. Now we got a whole upsurge of energy for those people who are looking for a savior. Now the Christians can't get a part of this because their star has already come. You follow that? So now with our next move. All of the leftover entities, all these new extraterrestrial groups, they showed you that group on Independence Day. Climb up to the top of the room and wave to extraterrestrials, as they call them, come take us. And they did. They took them all. They shot them and killed all people. You know what I mean? So they introduce to you Hellbox. They make it public. They introduce to you Simon Gandhi's angels. There's a Christian revival. There's a religious surge. There's a cultural surge going on again from the 60s. And it makes the atmosphere right for fanatics to step in and do things like that. And then they know that, because when they do that, then they turn to people and say, what's up, guys? You're all black. Everybody is a cult. The word cult is short for cult. Everybody, the Pope is a cult. The Pope cult met this morning at sunrise, like his brother said. It had a sunrise visual for Easter. A sunrise visual. Christians went out and watched the sun come up for Easter. Now, that ain't sun worship, cult worship, but he's a Pope, so he's ill. They're not asking him, is he a cult? But they're afraid that somebody like you might know what that craft is, if it's a craft. But they don't know. And then they put their remote viewers on it, and they're looking to keep a job. So they start making up all kinds of, oh yeah, it's a living entity. Oh yeah. And even when it's far as saying, it's coming here to get a certain group of people. Not only that. Selected people. And extra intelligent people. That makes it real easy for me to want to be a part of. Because it seems like it's addressing me. If I think I'm so intelligent, you gave me. So if I said, this year's class is coming just for pretty people. Who's going to tell the ugly people that? This ain't something about you. I'm just telling you how they work these minds in. Just by making the statement that it's for a selected group of people, and they're coming to get these people, and these people are super intelligent people, that group surfaced. There's probably a thousand other groups standing somewhere. Now, what is the relationship between suicide and rescue? None. There's no relationship between suicide and rescue. Let me tell you what I mean by that. If I tell you that I am coming to rescue you, then there's no reason for you to commit. So now, you cannot convince me that the people who committed suicide really believe that these God-like aliens were coming to us. Because in that case, they would not be committing suicide. And you say, well, they were going to transport their soul, but leave their body, then why the heck is the rescue got to go? That's back to the book.
need to go through the stone. If someone moved the stone, it's because somebody wants to take somebody's body out of the tomb.
Right.
And the stone was already moved before Mary and Magdalene got there. It's already, and Jesus didn't resurrect that day to no stone. See, this is the game. Some of them say it's a 2,000-year-old game. It's a 1,400-year-old game, and it's long. The game is still there. Muhammad runs inside of a cave, and a spider weaves a net for Muhammad. He's hiding behind the spider web from a bunch of men. But he's supposed to be a large messenger, and a large angel is supposed to come to help him. He says, in the mouth of Allah, he's not even. Surely the help of Allah is near. But Muhammad is hiding in a cave from men. 1,400 years, the same game is going on. Now what's happening? This is the age of Aquarius.
Hello?
This is the age of enlightenment. If not by no spooky crap, but by computers alone. Internet. International binding. Networking and business and finance. Men and women are sitting in their houses and making connections with companies in Japan and Korea without going through the from sea to shining sea. Without depending on planes transporting stuff and ships bringing stuff and bidding at the dock. So what is going to happen to commerce in this country if internet continues? Children can get in their computers and educate themselves at. So my daughter can sit in front of a computer, I've seen her do it, with a pajama on. What happened? Finances drop. No school means no new teachers. Because these kids are trained to go to school and trained to try to look nice in school and trained to try to look better than each other in school. The kids will say, I don't want to go to school because I don't have anything to. Commerce involved. Pencils are disappearing. Where is the largest shipment of lead coming from? Here. All the lead in the plate is coming from. See, your country is broken up into four places. Get this in your mind. Northern part of this country, right, deals with industry, cars, Wall Street, your factories. Southern part of this country deals with farming. Textile is farming, but it's cotton. You know, sheep. The East Coast deals with imports because everything was shipped. Read Revelation 18 if you'll read. And then on the West Coast, you're dealing with minerals. As you go westward, you're dealing with gold and the oil. And thus the country has been strategically broken down into a compass of business. And the Civil War was fought because the people in the South would not do trade with the people in the North. And the people in the North were depending on the food from the farmers. And they had this farmers' war or Confederate war less than 10 years ago. Where the government came in and gave loans to all the farmers. And then when the farmers went out and bought new equipment and planted food, the government didn't buy it. The North didn't buy it. So it's industry again. UFOs is industry. If all that grains are industry, they're now making gray masses and gray t-shirts. Wherever you see t-shirts and grains all over them, there's money involved. And to make it real, they've got to have life and death. Life and death is real. Everybody recognizes those two principles. The fact that you're living and one day you'll die, or that someone you love was living and one day they'll die. So this death incident has woken up everybody to the UFO phenomenon. It's not an accident. It's well planned. It's to make people come here and say, let me go on out there because I heard that he teaches about UFOs. They heard and he teaches about UFOs and that the vehicle, the craft in the sky is coming to get them. And that people are joining this organization faster than any organization we have ever seen. They're not joining the organization because they like me. They're joining the organization because because they have investigated the things I say.
نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الوالي الكريم وصلى الله على أنبياء أجمعين والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لمن مرسلين أما بعد Are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it and that He is alone and has no part and that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universes. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend, and send salutations of Allah on all of His prophets and His apostles, and on the Messiah, the anointed one, and on the Mahdi, the guide, and on the Mujaddid, the reformer, which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
The man of the hour, airing 7 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.